Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
exposed.
Oh.
Mike Cube.
Come on, baby mama.
Do you wanna see? 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 Mike Cube.
Double.
icons, legends, statements, and stars, the legendary Kai Balenciaga presents Take No Prisoners, a night of all-out battling. Who will bring 2013 in with the victory? Will it be him or will it be you? Who's going to win and who's going to lose? With the hottest categories and the hottest competition, grand prize, Femme Queen Face, bring a memorable entrance for $1,000. Grand prize, Butch Queen Performance, the Masters of Vogue, $1,000. Mini Grand, open to all team, High Fashion versus Urban Streetwear, the Dynamic Duo, and Mini Grand 2, Schoolboy Realness, the Presidential Award, and other cast categories. The ball date is January 5th, 2013, in Washington, D.C. Legend Stars and Statement will begin at 3 a.m. sharp, and Femme Queen Face will be the fifth category of the night. The paparazzi will be in the building, so come dressed to impress. You gotta know what to wear, when to wear it, where to buy it, and how to style it. Get ready to battle, get ready to cheer, cause Take No Prisoners is gonna be fierce. Not shady, but fierce.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of Emergency show. How's everyone doing? Hi, Mr. Man. Can you hear me? You know, chat room, I always need you. Somebody? Yes, okay. Hi. Hello. How's everyone's Wednesday doing? Well, how was everyone's Wednesday? Who watched American Horror Story? I Live. That's one of my favorite shows. And finally, they released who the main killer is tonight. It was really, really good. I love the show. But tonight we are here and we are going to be talking about a lot of shit that has been happening over the past couple of days, all rolled into one. Welcome to the State of Emergency show. Tonight's topic, we are going to be discussing topics ranging from tranny chasers and trade, getting served, and the backlash. And you know what I mean by getting served by these people, people that serving you, doing certain things to you, and the backlash that comes with it. We're also going to be talking about the violence that continuously is happening and how now you guys asked for it. It's all in the media. And how the media is really looking at us. These past couple of days, I've been noticing a lot with the media, from the girls that are pulling magic, the videos that are posted out there that the world is seeing, and also the drama that's happening in Uganda, in Africa. There's so much hatred out there. And I just really want to start this off with something that Ashley Icon said at What's in the Name last weekend in the video, where Caesar was interviewing her, speaking with her. She said something that really stuck in my head, that we are fighting the wrong people. We're fighting the wrong ones. We're fighting the wrong war. We're sitting here fighting and going back and forth with each other with so much hatred, with so much anger. And look how they look at us. It's a lot. It's really, really a lot. So tonight we're going to be talking a lot about some of this stuff. We also have scheduled, but, you know, in this world it's not, you know, guaranteed, but the parties that were involved with this weekend and the topics from Monday and Tuesday were all, you know, confirmed for tonight's show. So they said that they would be calling in. And they wanted to address certain issues and actually have a chance to speak and voice their opinion. So let me get to my panelists and bring them on individually, and we'll pretty much start the show. The first person that we have on the line, in no particular order, is J-Rock Ebony from Texas. Hey, J-Rock.
How you doing tonight?
How are you?
Doing pretty good. Just waiting on the show to start. I think that this is going to be a good topic. Sometimes when we do topics, I'll put it up in other rooms that's not ballroom just so they can call in, because I think that these topics right here are stretched further than just ballroom, so.
I got you. I thank you for promoting. The next person we have on the line is Jason Bridge. How are you?
Hey, Jazzy. I feel like I was a victim of Sandy for the last couple of days, not having a real phone or my internet. Oh, my God. I didn't realize how much the internet meant to me.
Oh, yeah. That's how it was when I was stuck in D.C. The internet in that hotel was carrying. I mean, it really was carrying. My phone was carrying. The internet was carrying. And I was like, oh, my God. And at home, sometimes I complain about my Wi-Fi signal. Sometimes it wants to go up and down and stuff. But I never appreciated it as much as I did when I was there.
You never mind.
You know, it's like sometimes you just don't know what you have until it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, learn to appreciate what you have right now. It could be a car. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It can be anything, even your internet or your phone. Appreciate what you have right now. Because sometimes when it's gone, you be gagging.
Yes, Lord.
You really be gagging.
And trying to get on Facebook from your phone is the worst. I don't know how people do it. I just can't.
Well, I actually spend more time on Facebook than my phone than I do on the computer.
Right, it depends on what kind of phone you had, because my Evo Android was everything. When I cracked that joker and went to D.C. and got stuck in Sandy with that World War II government phone, oh, my God, because it was a flip phone. It won't let you get on the internet. It won't let you do nothing.
Yeah, they carry sometimes. Miss Amaya, you're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine, how are you? Hey, Jason. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Ivana.
How are you?
Hey. I haven't heard from you since D.C.
Happy pre-birthday in case I don't talk to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
How you been?
I've been good. I started a new relationship, so I've been kind of focusing on that for the last few weeks.
Watching wrestling and all that shit.
Yeah, honey, I've seen her 3 a.m. post.
Shut up.
Watching wrestling and all that?
Yeah, we watch wrestling together and stuff.
Gotta love, y'all. New love. I just love new love.
It feels good. She all
right. Bubbly and stuff.
Mark, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason, what's up, J-Rock?
Hey, brother.
Hey, Ivana, I see people hate you, but I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Shut up. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. I actually had the day off, and I'm actually detoxing until this weekend, so I'm sitting having a light cocktail.
A 48-hour detox. I can't.
It's me. A detox is a detox. The world needs love. Thank you.
I love somebody, because I'm detoxing to this weekend as myself.
Well, I had a detox for almost a week and a half with no internet.
I'm good. I'm just enjoying the day off, and I have to be back tomorrow, but I have the whole weekend off, so I'm definitely going to enjoy that. And I get to go and see my brother Friday, so this is going to be much more fun.
Yes, we're going to really need a detox after that weekend.
So this is, no free promotion.
No, we not.
The next call is Michi. Hey, Michi, how are you?
Good evening, everyone. Hello. Hi, J-Rock.
Good evening.
Hello, Jim. Hey, mother.
Hey, son.
What's going on? You never responded to my message.
Which one? I did respond to your message. Did I talk to you on the phone, or did you send one after that?
I'm sorry, when I sent you a few minutes ago.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I'm just pulling back up to my house.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen all that. Like, I'm just getting in the garage.
Okay. Well, we're going to start the show off right now. We have another caller. I don't know who it is.
Please don't let it be a 202.
4010462.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, right, what's going on? Just chilling. We're waiting all day for this show. And, Jason, I know you got life with the internet because you've been on Facebook all fucking day. You and Mark.
Speaking of that, Enrique, between Jason and Mona, see, I had to go back to a BlackBerry Curve. And it just, every time they say something, I had like 100-something missed Facebook messages from a, I'm like, what is going on?
So my Facebook, my phone was popping all day.
Like, what is that?
All day. Welcome back, Jason.
What's everybody looking forward to tonight?
The reveal.
The reveal of what?
No, I'm going to say of the truth. Just the conversation. I like to hear both sides of the stories. I don't know if that's still into play, but that would be interesting to hear as well.
Jasmine, and along with those topics, can we discuss the Kevin Clash situation, the Elmo situation, because that's kind of like a close-to-home situation because my best friend, we'll talk about it as the night goes on, but I kind of want to talk about that because that does kind of go along with what's going on tonight, too.
Are you talking about the guy that was murdered by his mother?
Mm-mm,
no,
the
no,
one that was
about
trying
that.
To blackmail Elmo.
Yeah, and then he reneged it the very same day, right? Or the very next day?
The next day, he reneged it today.
That's horrible. That he should actually beat, no shade. Big Burn and all of them should jump him, no shade.
If anybody isn't listening, I actually, because I have been dying to know what he looks like, so they actually did reveal him today. So I did post his picture in the official ballroom. So if
they've been revealing him for a week though.
Oh well, I guess I haven't seen it till today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys are gonna have to update me on all that because I haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it later. The only thing I heard was that Elmo was messing with kids. Is that all? Was that something else?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's start the show, and then we can get into that as well. A lot of people are missing. You know what it is that a lot of people are low-riding to see what's going to happen tonight. And the bottom line is you're probably going to low-ride for no reason. You know how the show goes. You know how punks are. You know how the queens are. A lot of people have a lot to say. It's been happening for years. And then when it's time to actually face everyone, or to get on the line, people rename, and people pull out.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about it, because we are going to talk about it. Because I was silent Monday and Tuesday, and I have an opinion about everything that's been happening. And this is just my opinion, take it or leave it. You know, this is just how I feel about it. But I want to start off with the tranny chasers as well as the trade. And what we feel about that. On Monday's show, and I don't mean to sound long-winded or whatever, but so I'm going to try to get to the point. On Monday's show, we heard a lot about what took place with this boy from Atlanta who moved to New York and has been back and forth with so many people, now living in D.C., going by the name of ATL, or also Jarvis, or whatever. I don't know his name. And, you know, as the story builds, you find out more and more about the person. But the only thing that sticks in the back of my head is that he's 20 years old. He's from a city. so he's not he's from another place. He has no family, and things of that sort, and he's living this lifestyle, and being, you know, I guess used or tossed or whatever around. And it's not just him. You know, you hear so many people that go through this. We see, you know, it, who do you blame? Who do you point the finger at? And what role do you play in it? We've seen the same thing happen with so many people throughout all the years that I've been involved in ballroom, and it's still happening to this day. You heard Bishop, and a lot of you don't like Bishop, but I actually listen to what Bishop says. And in all honesty, whoever likes it or not, in my eyes, in my ears, Bishop is actually speaking the truth. He just has the wrong way of saying it. He doesn't know how to say it. He doesn't know how to release it. He's very aggressive with it, but he's very passionate. And sometimes your passion can cause you to go in the wrong direction, or say things the wrong way. And my thing with that is what he was saying is true. You know, Bishop is a little older now, and Bishop was trying to come across and say that he was one of those boys that were 15, 16, 17 years old or whatever, and that was chasing around the girls and having the girls do this and that for them and, you know, so forth and so on, and going from this one and going to that one and being a piece of, then, you know, being trade or whatever and sleeping with this one and sleeping with that one. And, I mean, like, you know, that's the life that these people are living. But what do we have to, what are we saying about ourselves when we partake in it or we open our doors to it? And then when they turn us, they serve us, they rob us, they steal from us, they sleep with other people or do this and that, what do you say about that? Then everyone wants to get mad, and they want to lash out, and they want to, you know, call them every name in the book, and read and let all the business out and stuff. And I understand why you do that, because you're angry, because this person did what they did. So you want them to feel your pain as well. But it's like taking a wild animal, or a dog, or a stray dog, or a stray cat, and bringing them in your house. Sometimes it really doesn't work. You don't know what habits they have, or what they're so used to, and what they're accustomed to. And that's where my issue is. Because, and again, all you girls are my sisters, and I love you, and I protect you, and I speak for you. But the bottom line is, it makes you look like a fool. It makes you look bad when this happens. While you girls are sitting here releasing all this information, saying the things that you guys are saying, you also look very bad as well. And that's what I feel about that. That's my opinion. And again, I understand why you're doing it, because you're angry, but that's my opinion. Now, this boy is 20 years old, and he's all over the place. And he's also, you know, to my understanding, in the tranny room, chasing after all the girls, and he got a mouth. I heard he has a mouth. He speaks, he reads, he attacks people on Facebook and all the rest of that stuff. So, he was told earlier today that you are more than welcome to come on this show tonight and speak. Not to attack, because I'm not going to allow anyone to attack, but to speak and give your opinion. Your opinion on the fight. You said that it wasn't even your battle. It was your friend, your brother, JR's battle. But you were caught in the middle of it. And then for all this information to be released about you and the things that you've done, you are more than welcome to come on this show and express yourself. And you were told that today, and you have the number, and either you're going to call or you're not, as well as JR, as well as Little Tony. Because they also feel a certain way. And you know why they feel a certain way? Is because now they're all over the media. You have a whole bunch of ghetto-ass people looking at you all on World Star Hip Hop. And they're looking, knowing that this is a ball. Half of them don't even know what the word ball means. They don't know what our version of ball means. But they know that this is a ball. And all the hated things that they say about us as gay individuals. Everything that I've seen on there just completely turned my stomach. Because they still, we can sit here and say that, oh, the times have changed. It's 2012, 2013. It's much easier for us out there in the workplace. It's much easier for us to go out there and go to school. It's much easier for us to adapt to society. Yeah, it is. There's a lot of doors that have opened for us. But that doesn't change the opinion about us. Mm-hmm. And we can't change a person's opinion because they're going to have opinions about us always. But we're not fully accepted. We're not fully accepted at all. And we're still showing them a side of us. Okay, baby, I got you. They're still showing us a side of us. They're still showing us a side of them. Of how much hatred they have for us and how they look at us at the bottom of the barrel. And it's because of what? Because we're sitting there carrying? We always say that, oh, ballroom is going to go mainstream. And when is it going to go mainstream? This shit ain't going mainstream no time soon. Because we keep making fools of ourselves. And with the wonderful power of social media and YouTube and all the rest of that stuff, it is now being shown. And we sit here and wonder why our own brothers and sisters do not want to come to Vogue. I speak to so many people, and they know of me, and I speak to them, and I see them, and like, yeah, I went to a ball once. Started so late and lasted so long. I can't do it. I'd have to go to a pageant. Oh, I just, no, I've touched on YouTube. It's really becoming a mess. The media is really still looking at us. And look at the media and what they're saying. I know I'm just talking, right? But I'm speaking from the heart. Look what the media is saying about us as well. Transvestite, ball, that we, you know, we don't do nothing. We don't work. We don't have, you know, basically we don't have lives. What was the quote that they were saying about the people that were pulling the Nordstrom stuff or whatever, all the little crap, all that stuff that was getting busted this week or whatever. You know, what the media says about us, the House of Ebony and, you know, this and that. I mean, really, this is what they look at us as. Why are we giving them something to see? Why can't we get it together? We talk about a ban list and trying to group together to try to stop this and put people in their place, but that's not working. We keep saying, oh, but it's a lot that we need to do, and it's a lot that we need to, an area we have to fix, and it's going to take time or whatever, but how much time is it going to take? How much more time before somebody is dead at a ball? How much more time before somebody is paralyzed? It's really getting crazy. And we're looking like fools. And whoever likes what I say, or who don't like it, I personally don't care, because that's how I feel about it. And I have a right to feel a certain way, because this is something that I believe in. This is something that created Jasmine Couture, and this is something that I have given back to so many times, more than any Foxy in this scene. I have given my personal money back to change people's lives, to help them, to give them something to look forward to, or to give them a night where they can close their eyes and sleep at, but peacefully. I have given thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars back to this community. And look what I see. It's completely sad. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Chat room, I got you there. Okay, I see who's listening, and I have everybody on the line. I'll let you guys take over so I can smoke a cigarette. But J-Rock, Jason, Fauna, Mark, Michi, Enrique, what's your opinions on everything that's been transpiring lately? Starting off with J-Rock. And if you guys are on the phone line, press 1 if you want to tune in for tonight's topic. And, that, you know, just give us your opinion. And if you are any of the people, ATL or Tavares, whatever, JR, Little Tony, get them on the line, call them, tell them the show has started. Stop telling people to not call into the show or be a part of the show because it's going to get messy. They're going to attack you and all the rest of that stuff because that does not happen on my show. So cut that out. But go ahead, y'all.
Yeah, personally, I feel about the all the stuff that's going on. When I seen, at first, if I kind of had a different outlook once I seen it on World Star Hip Hop, because, like I said before on the show, everybody want to know, like, I mean, like, I commend people like Mark that really don't give a fuck what people think about them. But I'm the kind of person that I deal with people's minds, I deal with people's emotions. That's how I do my job. Every day I have to know what you're thinking. I have to know what you're going to say before you say it. And when I seen all that on World Star Hip Hop, I was like, oh, this video that made it to World Star Hip Hop. But when I went down to the comments, that made me like, well, I'm doing a good thing by not just being out there. Because you never know, because I still have to work with these people. I still have to work with them in a way where I'm not ignorant with it. So it's kind of like, it kind of scares me to think, okay, well, what if my shipmates that I have to work with every day find out this? Are they going to think the way that these people that's posting these comments, or they know they can't say nothing, but they're not saying nothing at work, but this is the way that they really feel? And I don't know about y'all, unless y'all just get into, like, a fraternity or a sorority.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Hey, I have little Tony on the line.
Okay,
let him go.
So,
wait a minute. They're going to have to do something about that background music.
Yeah, about all that extra.
Tony, that's your background. Are you in a car?
Oh, no, that's not all that. I'm just trying to hear that.
Is somebody doing extra?
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yeah.
Hi,
hello.
Tony, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Tony?
What's up? Does it sound better now? The background sound better now?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're by a TV or a computer or a radio, you just get a lot of feedback. So just kind of turn it off while you speak. Or if it's someone else that isn't speaking, just hit your mute button for me, please. But go ahead, little Tony. Thank you for calling. And how are you? This is Jasmine.
I'm good. I'm fine. And you?
I'm good. So...
So, little Tony,
what
do
you want to say? Or
like,
how does somebody else?
Kind of give us an overview of how you feel now that the fight has gone from ballroom to YouTube, now the World Star Hip Hop, and it's become over 300 plus thousand views and over 100 of comments of different people's views and different posts and groups and stuff. Like, how are you feeling now about the situation?
I mean, it's actually a drain to me because, like I was saying earlier, I don't like all that negative attention. Like,
mm-hmm.
I hate that it had to go there. Like I said, I've been coming to Balls now for almost 8 years, participating, and nothing has never ever happened like that with me. That's why people were kind of surprised that that event even took place, because people are not used to seeing me act like that. But, like, it's sad that it had to go there, and I don't appreciate it being on World Star. Like, I don't, like, I at first, I did want to see the video because I was still angry, But I didn't know that it was going to go that far. Like it's really doing shows. Like, it's a lot of negative energy. People in my inbox, people on my page. And like I said, I'm not a negative person, so I don't like all that. The people that know me, like, know me personally, they know that Tony doesn't give all that. Like, I'm a cool person. Like, I like to keep the peace. So, like, all of that, like, I really don't like all that. Like, it's no extra.
Do you regret what happened this weekend?
I guess I can say I regret how it went down. I don't regret for standing up for myself because, like, I don't know if they were, like, if they were sober or not, because, you know, people come to balls, people get influenced off of different things. But I definitely don't regret standing up for myself because the bad thing about it is that the people see the story from where it took from. Like, they see it from just that one part. Like, it was more than that. And people trying to intervene, like, over and over and over and over again. Like, this went on for a whole hour and a half before the fight actually started. So I don't regret taking up for myself or doing what I had to do for me, but I do regret that it has gone all the way to World Star and that, now, you know, like, people don't know me like that. You know, people see you on the ballroom floor, people see you on Facebook, but they don't know you as a person. I do regret that that video is, like, representing me and, like, who I am because that's not me.
And that's completely understandable. That's definitely completely understandable. But let me ask you this question. For those of you who do not even know what actually took place and you guys are going based on the video, if you don't mind, Little Tony, without just going into so many details, can you just sum up what took place? Like you said, it was happening for like an hour, hour and a half before all the violence and stuff took place. But what was the main source of it? What really happened?
Okay, now the light-skinned guy is not who I actually got into it with. I got into it with the darker guy.
And that's JR.
Yes, I guess he was intoxicated or whatever it was. And I understand that because the girls, you know, I've had my night. But he was, like, leaning over me as he was talking to Fatcat. And, you know, he was being catty. And, like, oh, how long have you been at Ebony? And this, that, you know, just asking me questions. You know, and I was taking offense because he had a cigarette over my shirt while he was talking as if he wanted to pluck the ashes from me. So, back to make a long story short, me and him had gotten into a fight, and he went and got the light-skinned boy. So he had went out totally out the picture because the light-skinned boy was supposed to have been a straight boy when I was told. I mean, I didn't believe that. But, you know, Trey comes to the balls and, you know, they do what they have to do in the balls. You know, they give the girls stuff. So I didn't know who he was, but he went and got him. And so it went from me and him to me and the light-skinned boy. And then, you know, we just kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Bam's Ebony from Baltimore, he tried to intervene like four or five times. You know, tried to stop it, but I seen the boy go, I don't know what he had in his pocket, but he kept standing behind me with something in his pocket. And the video shows something flying out of his pocket that appears to be a knife. Witnesses say it was a knife. But, you know, he just kept asking for it. So then that's when we got outside, and it's no longer me and the dancing boy because JR is no longer in the picture. Now it's me and his brother because the brother, I guess, is taking up for him. So that's where it starts off. And I came outside, and I was like, you know, initially I was like, you know, you got it. Like, you people in here ruining people's nights, that's all right. I'm a pay it. And before I could go in the bathroom, he went and got Father Tony for me. So Father Tony came, and then he didn't know Father Tony was my gay dad also. Father Tony came, and that's when you see it start outside. That's when me and him started arguing outside. And by that point, I had enough. Like, it was enough talking. Like, we had already been going through this like an hour and a half. It's like this guy was asking for it. And so that's how that, that's how that went down. Like I said, like, I regret that it happened. Like, and at first when I had seen the pictures, like, apparently the hospital pictures were old. But, like, I felt bad. Like I really wanted to know, was he okay? You know, like you get so angry, and you get into these fights, like people actually can get hurt, people can die, people can, you know. And I wouldn't want nothing like that on my conscience. So I actually really did want to know, was him and the other guy okay? Like when my anger came down, because everyone was intoxicated. People were all, you know, different things and influenced different things, and we all acted out of character. But initially, when I first seen it, I was still angry, but I did want to know, was he okay?
I have a question, Lil Tony. Now, I have a question. This is J-Rock. Now, when you initially, like, because I've seen how you kept going back, like, you was kind of like, go ahead with that, you know what I'm saying? But my thing was, when you initially went at them with the mace and everything, was you going at them just in case RJ wanted to jump in and you had to fight both of them?
Yeah.
Was that what was going across your mind, that they might try to jump?
And what was always in my mind is that I knew he had something in his pocket. Like, me and Harold had got into it the other day. I was telling Harold he had something in his pocket. That's why I went, because somebody gave me the mace. I won't say who the person is, because they just don't want to get into it.
Okay. Because a lot of people don't see nothing on that tape. See, my thing is, because like everybody keeps saying, okay, he pulled out mace. Okay, if you can tell by your hands that you know how to fight, but you're not just gonna pull out mace for anything. So I mean, maybe
exactly.
You don't I pulled out mace because
number one, me and a couple of my friends aren't speaking, because I had a couple of friends that were out in the yard, and I guess, you know, the girls be too full, whatever it may be. Like, I felt like I was by myself. Even though Fekka had gotten into it, I mean, y'all seen the video, it was so much she could do. They were both, it was two of them. One of them is supposed to be Trey, you know, and I'm giving bitch, I've seen what Trey do to the girls. I'm not going to take a chance of him. So when I approached him, that's why I had the mace, because number one, I knew he had something. And if you watch the video over again, when me and him, once he swung the chair at me, and I swung the chair back, when we saw fighting, you can see the silver, whatever it is, it flies out of his pocket, and it hit the wall. It flew out of his pocket. So I knew that he had something. So that's why I sprayed him, because I was given, okay, once I hit him, I know that the dark-skinned one is going to get into it. And my thoughts are right, because that's how Stackhead and the dark-skinned one got into it, because the dark-skinned one went and got a chair. So, I mean, I that's exactly why I made him, because it's not a fair fight anyway. It was me versus those two.
Right.
And I was by myself, like, you know, like, I wasn't going to take that chance. I'm definitely not going to let nobody harm me, or I'm not going to be embarrassed. Like, and especially these two guys that are walking around the ball to start in trouble. Hell no.
So, at any point, do you feel like it was a point where you could have actually just walked away and paid it, or at that point in time, you felt your safety was kind of, you know,
the thing
risk?
The thing is, I wish it was a camera that had walked around with me for the whole ball. I walked away from that guy, and I'm not exaggerating, maybe five times inside the ball. You know, the fight was really about to go down inside the ball. And it was over there by the DJ booth, and the girls kept breaking it up. The girls broke it up like three times. Three times I walked away from him. He kept coming behind me, standing behind me with his hand in his pocket. That's when I felt he was a threat to me.
Let me ask Sonya a question. And I know, you know what? I don't even agree with saying this, because I'm kind of like Mark when Mark makes these comments that, you know, like, child, we are grown, and this is what we're doing for fucking grown people. We gotta do this all for the grown people, because we're all grown. So I'm just saying this, but I don't even agree that it has to even be this way. But I'm just going to say, playing devil's advocate, Tony, how close are you with Rodney and James?
Those are my uncles. I've known both of them, like, for a while. Like, you know,
they're uncles, and you do have communication with them. Do you think that maybe there could have been a time where you could have went to James and Rodney? You've been in the ballroom scene for all these years. You are part of the, you know, an iconic house. I'm sure you are aware of all the stuff that's happening within ballroom, band lists, and how we're trying to stop the violence. Do you think that maybe there was a time that maybe you could have went to James or Rodney, pulled them to the side and said, listen, I ain't trying to sound like no punk or nothing, but I don't want, you know, nothing to go down to get your ball, you know, tainted or have the ball shut down. But these two niggas over here, they just won't stop. So, you know, either, you know, can you and have them, you know, talk to them, get them out of the building, or maybe I should leave or something. But, you know, I just don't want it to go down. And that's only, I only say that because of the respect that we have for each other as leaders or as people within this ballroom thing that's trying to make a change. Do you think maybe you could have did that?
Yeah, I definitely think I could have. The thing is, when the fight first started out, like when we first started arguing, Rodney came over and got in between. And Rodney was like, I'm telling you, if either one of you fight, you're getting put out. Like, we're going to put you out of here. And it stopped from there. So at that point, I went and got Bam, who is a member of my house. And, like, I knew the other one was supposed to be Ebony related. I went and got Bam from Baltimore. Because he's a leader figure, and he knows them more than, you know, like he would have been able to get his point across more than James Fulbright, because if he respect Bam, he's a leader in our house. So we went and got Bam, which Bam intervened at least three times. So I'm sure that it was ways I probably could have walked away from this. I'm not saying that I didn't let my anger get the best of me, but we really tried. We can't say that we didn't try to get people to intervene, because we tried to get as far as at least two or three times.
I understand that. You went to the leader of your house. I completely understand that. But I'm just saying in general, and again, thank you for, you know, just stating that there were other options. But I'm just saying that people, I mean, like, we have these relationships now in this ballroom thing that we don't have to be a part of a house to just have mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, uncles and stuff. We have mothers and fathers, uncles and everybody that are from other houses. And if you guys have these relationships with these promoters, don't feel like you're going to be pussy or a punk to go up to them, because this is, if we have love and respect for that promoter, then we don't want to have things tainted on their ball, on their name and stuff. Don't be afraid to go up to that promoter and tell them, take them to the side and tell them, yo, this is what's happening, and, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm pussy or nothing, but I don't want to have to whoop this motherfucker's ass at your ball and have it shut down. You know, I like going to balls and stuff, and I don't want to be the cause or be on fucking YouTube, and now World Star Hip Hop, because that was just the first. There's going to be many more, I guarantee you, because the queens just do not know how to leave nothing alone. So you'll see all the queens posting everything on World Star. So be careful what you kind of, who got the camera on you. But bottom line is, I don't want to be a part of that. You know, we need to fix this. And if we work together, I believe that we can try to fix this. I have a caller that keeps pressing one. Tony, I want you to stay right there. I'm not going to reassure you nothing, but I just want to see who this is, because they keep pressing one. 347-828, you're on the air.
Oh, my God.
Hello? And then you hang up. Okay, I'm sorry, little Tony and Misha. Go ahead, you guys. You guys can continue.
So, little Tony, just in light of everything, you know, we just, you know, appreciate you for coming on, giving your side, you know, just to show everyone that, you know, you're not, you know, the bad guy that's showing out there, because the video has gotten a lot of direction, not only towards the gay community as a whole, but the ballroom community as to what a lot of people already try to make it out to be as far as media, as if it's really like this dark underground world full of violence and hatred, envy, and deceit. And, you know, there's some good people. There's some people there. I really just want to come out and have some fun. So, you know, now in lieu of that, you know, should you cross paths with this gentleman again, you know, is it going to be any type of apology, or are you just going to pay it, or, like, you know, what's your reaction on that? Are you even looking at the possibility of that even happening?
The thing is, I'm definitely totally for trying to fix this and letting things go. I've never been the type of person that hold grudges or anything like that. I can fight with somebody and shake their hand the next day and truly mean it. The thing is, when something happens like this, when videos like this reach World Star, some people feel embarrassed, I guess this will all depend on him because I'm down for trying to pick this. But I know if someone had did that to me on a national website, I probably want to fight again. So I really don't want it to have to go further than it has to go, and I don't want to feel threatened by him because, I know that it can go further. But if I see him again and if he's sincere or trying to work things out, I have no problem definitely apologizing to him and the other guy, and we can definitely work it out and move on because I'm just that type of person. But, it all depends on them. I don't know what they're feeling like or if they want to seek revenge or whatever it is. I don't know.
Hey, Tony. Tony, question. Hey, what's up, Tony? This is Enrique. I've not known you for
a
while. I'm doing great. And I know the type of person you are, so this is kind of shocking to me, but I also know that when things get tried, people act a certain way. That by them all, I know that Jarvis is not at Ebony, but my understanding is JR still in Ebony, or is he not at Ebony?
He's not at Ebony anymore either.
Okay.
From what I was told, he hadn't been at Ebony for like a year or so, but he's definitely not at Ebony now.
Now, is there a way of having somebody play mediator and maybe possibly getting them on the phone so you guys can have, a talk that way? Or you'd rather not do that?
I'm going to try to do tonight. Enrique, I'm sorry to cut you guys off. That's what we're actually trying to do. I've actually spoken with Javaris earlier, gave him the information. We had a good, long chat, about how he felt about the situation. It's done the third, so I've given him that chance. Fat Cat was going to call him, but he has to work early in the morning. He's been working all day. He did text me. He regrets the situation. He's not happy about it. So, it is resolution and works with it.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah, and Father Tony, I was talking to Tony, and he was saying, it's a shame that my kids are fighting like that. I guess it's like a lot of y'all don't know each other and stuff like that. So I could try to go through Tony. I'll definitely try to reach my hand out to try to mediate the situation. I'm not going to make myself, I'm not going to make myself look like a punk by no means, but I am mature enough about the situation to try to work it out. So I'll try to go through Tony and, try to get him to mediate the situation. But, the girls will say one thing, and then we'll be at the next ball. The girls will be stirring pot. The girls will be trying to get the clutch spot going. This is what queens live for. It's saying
what you're right.
But I don't say why they would come across as a punk, though. If anything, that's calling Clark as a responsible adult. I don't understand.
Yeah, and that's what I hear in Tony tonight. That's exactly what I hear. I can hear his, no matter how we look at it, there is a lot of regret on there. There's embarrassment within him. He can hear that coming from him. And let me ask you this question, Tony. I don't know how much you listened to the show on Monday and Tuesday, but did you really catch the type of person that this boy is portrayed as? Because I can't say if it's true or not, but, the history that these people have given this boy, 20 years old, no family, from Atlanta, here, there, everywhere. Did you catch all that? Did you hear about all that after?
Oh, no, I didn't hear nothing about that. I had known, which one is Jarvis? Which one is Jarvis? Is the Dawson one? Because I don't even know either one of their names. I know one is JR.
One that you maced and knocked, that's Javaris, and then JR was the other one, that Fat Cat.
I really don't know anything about him. The girls are very, very, very wicked. They were saying stuff like he's a date. He comes into the balls, he's having the girls like up in the back of rooms. I really didn't get no history of him like that. He's from here. I didn't know he was 20 years old either.
There's a lot that, and that's why I would love for him to come on the line, because if it's true or not true, but I feel that he should have a voice to express himself as well about his opinion on everything, but especially about what his opinion is on how he's portrayed.
I don't mean to cut you off, Jasmine, but what had got me was, and everybody they try to paint the situation or whatever, but what got me is it's no shade. Monique said she hit this boy in the head with a sledgehammer twice, and he has fluid on the brain. All this stuff, that makes me think, I'm sorry, when some people just not right in the head. So I'm pretty
sure. And that's
like,
what I was trying to get to Tony. That's what I was saying.
Right.
Like,
I'm pretty sure if Tony would have knew that this boy is kind of nuts, he's kind of crazy, he would have, told somebody, hey, look, y'all need to get him now and get him out of here. Because now it looks, I'm not trying to call Javaris like he's slow or nothing, but if somebody is crazy and then they're doing drugs, then they're doing the liquor, You know what I'm saying? He could not be thinking right, and I'm pretty sure Tony would have took it a different situation. Like, I'm not physical, because now it makes it look handicapped. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah, but you know what? I have to say this. I mean, as somebody, you know what I mean, that uses when I do go out, you know what I mean? What we do is very mind-altering. It's very altering. I mean, I'm not even going to sit here and lie to y'all. I'm probably not a nice person. But when I'm high, you can get the world from me, because that's what it does. That's what the high does to me. And people, when we go out, try to go out and have fun, and some of us just go out and just carry. And obviously this boy, by what he's probably been through in life, top of being full like the way he was, this probably wouldn't have occurred if he wasn't as high as he was or as drunk as he was. A lot of this stuff happens.
I definitely agree.
Hey, the next day, a lot of us don't even remember half the shit that happened.
That's true.
All right, I have a couple of other people that are pressing one. I just want to make sure before I just, you know, I don't want to hold Tony out all night. If he doesn't want to be here, he's more than welcome to. But, in case there's somebody that wants to speak or part of the other people, 202-210, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Bishop.
Hi, Bishop.
Hey, how you doing, Jasmine? You know, I was actually listening to how you all were saying that, you know, he has problems. That's exactly what I was talking about on Monday. You never know what somebody has gone through. You never know I'm pretty sure everybody in here knows when a person is has been through something. You can tell it in their eyes they've been through something, or they probably been hurt. No matter if they high, or no matter if they're sober, you can tell that they've been through something just by the way they act. So why some people, I'm not saying no shade, I'm not saying that anybody, you know, basically made him do what he was doing. But, you know, somebody told me, Kelly told me misery loves company. And that's so true. You know, I didn't just hear that from Kelly, but I heard it from other people also. Misery loves company. So once you put yourself in the box that you say you're going to play the same game that play along with this person in his madness, or play along with this person I'm keep on making him mad, then, yeah, you're falling right into that category to do exactly what shouldn't be done, you know. And then on top of that, like I said the other night, I mean, yeah, I've been through a lot of things. I've seen things. I know what that boy is going. I know exactly what that boy is going through right now. But so the injury, I'm going to keep it real with you. He taking it much, much more bad than I did. Matter of fact, the girl that got uppercutted on the bus, do you know she's one of my Facebook friends, one of my best Facebook friends? And guess what? Only thing she getting good on her Facebook is backlash. Even a lot of her friends that turned on her childhood friends that were Facebook friends of hers. You know, now we are taping things that are being actually a part of the Hollywood world now. Do y'all understand that? Anybody can pick up a camera now and take a picture of a fight or insult the injury. You know, that was my main thing coming over here also, because that was something that I started to really look at when it was put on World Star Hip Hop, and I just found out that yesterday morning.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you, Bishop. I'm going to put you on the side because I got some other callers. But you're right. You're 100% right. 347-829, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay, so I have a question. You guys are saying that, you know, the guy that got hit and that got maced and hit, you're saying that he has mental issues. So can I just
We don't know if it's mental issues per se.
We're just saying that, I would say a better word I would choose is lost. He's a little lost right now.
So then if you guys are saying he's a little lost, so don't you think that some people detect that, they pick that up, they can see that, and they take advantage of a situation like that. So then my question is, like, for some of these transsexuals, you know, who deal with these boys on a regular basis, you can't tell me nothing different, that some of them, they know these things about these boys, and they take advantage of them. And then when they snap and when they don't do something that they don't like, then it's like it's curtains. I'm going to put all your business out on the air. And that's not right.
Hold on, y'all. Do me a favor, caller. I'm going to put you on mute for a minute. I'm going to come to you because we're going to get into that in a sec. But as we got little Tony on the phone, I just wanted to keep it in the same lines of that, just that one incident before we get into that other stuff. But I'm going to come back to you in a few because I do want to talk about that next. 973-556, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I just want to talk about, like, even if you have mental issues or not, did they think that it was right to make somebody and beat him the way that they did, knowing he couldn't see? Like, that was a punk bitch move on their behind. It don't even look right.
Wait a minute. Can I ask you a question, caller? Have you ever been in a fight?
There's no rules in fighting.
No, exactly, because that's my whole point. When you get into
there's
a,
no rules in fighting, but when nobody has attacked
the
you,
thing
you're
is,
already
the
fighting
thing
somebody
is,
with me.
I swear you made it, and I will
everybody
not
keep,
anything.
Somebody's
in everybody
a garbage can and throw
keeps,
something at you or pick up something to hit you with
you.
There is no
mace.
Rules in fighting.
So what if you mean, so what if it's mace? So what? You're fighting. You came to a fight. You came to an argument. If I mace you and I knock you, that's what happens. It's a fight.
And what if I wouldn't have maced him? And what if he'd have stabbed me? You know?
Right.
If he had okay, not. So what if I wouldn't have maced him and he'd have stabbed me? Or what if I wouldn't have maced him and what if both of them would have jumped me?
Right. He had every right to defend himself.
Can I
jump in here for a minute? Let me say something. This gentleman said that before it all happened, he saw a silver object. He said that in the process of what was going on, and I sat back and I'm Tony. My name is Jason, by the way. I've sat back and I'm listening. And tonight I'm going to really be quiet because I want to take everything in. This gentleman sat back and said that he saw a silver object. There were two against one. They were all intoxicated, to a degree. Whoever gave him mace, I thank them because he was looking out for him in a sense that you don't know when you're going into a fight with who. Although he only saw two people, there could have been four other people out there that were just waiting in the background. A fight is just that, a fight. And when it comes to a fight, be it 5-3 or 6-7, David beat Goliath with a rock and a slingshot. So when it comes to a fight, it's by any motherfucking means necessary. Now, I will say, because of what I saw, the boy with the brown jacket on, whatever his name was, once he was maced, then in there, I knew he was not in his right mind because of just the way he stood there, how his fist was balled up, and he looked like a tick, tick, boom. So, but that boy being a tick, tick, boom, he's not being in right in the head after hearing he's been hit in the head with sledgehammers or whatever has happened to him. He's not right. So when he's going to be like a rat trapped in a corner, and we all know what rats do when they're trapped in a corner.
Look, Jason, I understand what you're saying. It's not even about just him. It's not even about just him. It's about, bitch, you don't know. We're in a day and age where we're dealing with crack babies, we're dealing with drugs in and out of this world that are all over the place. You don't know exactly what that person that you are fighting is capable of, and you're going to have to do whatever you have to do to protect yourself.
Right.
And I don't care how it makes you look. It could be somebody that you're arguing with at the ATM machine or at McDonald's. You don't know that motherfucker. You don't know what the hell he's going through, what kind of bad day he had. You don't know how crazy he is. You don't know what he got in his pocket. You don't know who was with him. I think little Tony did what he had to do to protect himself. That is my opinion.
Tony, let me ask you a question. After that video being on World Star Hip Hop, I just have to ask this. Do you feel that your safety might be in danger or anything like that? You think that people might randomly see you on the street and might want to try you? Because, you know, that's the only reason why I'm kind of opposed to any of the ballroom kids being on any of those type of media things. Because, first of all, you are gay, you are black, and people were trying to – and the negativity post that was putting on there, and plus the stupid part that they even put the location of the ball. You know what I'm saying? Now, if you would have said just a ball, it's good, but you put the whole location up. That's what really bothered me.
And the name of the ball.
And my whole thing is, how do you feel about your safety theory? Because I understand, like, we could talk about this boy being crazy and blah, 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 what you had to do, had to do. Let's talk about the aftermath. How do you feel about your safety right now? Random people coming up saying something.
I definitely feel like it gave me a lot of negative exposure. Like, people are going to feel different ways. Some people are going to feel like, okay, yeah, you did the right thing. And then some people are going to feel like, yeah, that was a bitch move. So I do feel some type of way, like maybe like when I'm walking down the street or if I'm grocery shopping or wherever I may be, I may see somebody who may think it was negative, and they may want to say what they want to say, or like that's what I'm saying. I don't like it. I don't like all the negative exposure it's told.
On the video, like you said, you saw the silver thing, but on the video, like I didn't notice the silver thing falling out. It may be because I wasn't looking that hard, and I think where the comments came out, because if that object was visible for people to see, then it wouldn't have came across like that. But by people not noticing it or not seeing it, that's how it came across. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where all the negativity came up. Now, if he would have been like in his right mind, let's hope he's not. If he would have pulled it out, blah blah blah, because he just seems like. He seemed disoriented from the very beginning. He was running his mouth, but he was very disoriented. You know what I'm saying? And I know anybody in their right mind, be it high, be it if somebody's going to have a silver object in their pocket, it wouldn't be in my – while we're arguing, my hands will be on it, not just running loosely in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where a lot of people was having problems with that.
See, but Enrique, what I'm saying is that's just like with the Kelly and Danny situation. I've looked at that video so many times. I do not see nothing in Danny's hand.
Me neither. I didn't see it either.
But
when we first got into it inside the ball, the whole time we were arguing his hands were in his pocket. That's why my friend came and gave it to me. Because the people said he left when we initially got into the argument, people said, okay, he left and came back. He went somewhere and came back. So we were thinking that he went to got something. So he came and was arguing me with his hands in his pocket. Now, if you look at the video, when I first hit him, after that, once he gets up, he went and got a chair. Once he swing the chair, I threw a chair back, and we start fighting. The first hit where I hit him after the chair incident, you'll see the silver object, slide to the right, and it's kind of shaped like a triangle. So it's kind of shaped like a knife that was halfway open. You know the kind that you pluck out, but it was halfway open. And Kelly was recording from that direction. So now that I'm telling y'all exactly where it's at in the video, like once y'all go look at it, y'all gonna be like, oh, there it goes.
Right.
That's why I don't regret the mace, because it was two of them, and I wasn't taking my risk with two of them, especially when they're saying one of them is Trey. And then I knew that he had something. I knew he had something. Because other than that, I definitely didn't need the mace. It's clear that I did not need the mace.
Well, it was clear. And the whole Trey part was a key to me, because you know how we all did with Trey. You know, if Trey's going to go off, they're going to hit you regardless. They're not going to let you keep running your mouth. Right there to me would have been a sign. Oh, this is just a queen or very escort or something.
Yeah, like
But Tony, I have a question, because okay, so you're giving me a lot of the way that I think. Now, Enrique said that he knows you but this is shocking to him. This is shocking to him that you're
No, because Tony does have a mouth on him. Let's not get it twisted.
No, I'm not talking about mouth.
I'm just shocked. He'll read, and he'll take a stance, but yet he'll let it blow over. He's one of those type of person that he'll get real hype, and then the next second is just done with. That's the type of person
he
is.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, and that's what we do. We read all day long. I read all day on this show and everything, but I won't resort to violence unless I have to. Now, if you bring me to a point where I got completely mad, I might make you then pop you. It don't even have nothing to do with the situation no more. I'm so pissed off that you got me to a point that I don't even normally come to. So after this, it seemed like that pop came out of nowhere, just like, bitch, why you bring me to this point? That was just weird to me because it was just like, you already maced me. You said, I'm going to show you. You maced them. Then it was kind of like, now. Then it was kind of like, bitch, hop, and you just hit him. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was like my anger had boiled all the way. And people are in the middle. Once people start getting in the middle, people start getting more hype, you know? As you get it to me, I was calm the whole time. Because I've been shot, bitch, battered, afraid. It's plenty. I'm from the projects. So I've seen people more threatening to him. The only thing that was threatening was that his hand kept going in the pocket underneath his head. So I kept telling him, like, I don't want to go there with you. Like, I don't want to do this. He insisted. And when people are getting in the middle, they are making it, you know, like, when people get in the middle, that's when people want to get hype. You know?
Right.
Like, that's when he, you know, they just start doing shows. So, like, that's when it went to the climax. And I was just, like, so irritated. And at the point, like, where, okay, you know, I usually don't do this, and that's exactly what I was telling myself in my mind. Tony, you usually don't do this, but you got to do it today. Because everything was just telling me, if I let him disrespect me in my own city and in a public like this, then people will feel the need that they can do it too.
Right.
You know, like, yeah,
right.
So that's like.
Let me see who these other callers are really quickly, and then we need to change up the topic a little bit. 240619, you're on the air.
Good evening. Well, good morning, everybody. I just want to say a few things. Well, I know Tony somewhat, and a few things concerns me. Number one, you know, the whatever you guys were on, drinking or drugs or whatever, that right there nowadays is a bad idea when you go to balls, because there's always so much going on. There's always things that's coming to balls from previous balls. Do you want to get this one? You want to pay back? And when you're inebriated or under the influence, you just don't know what's going on. We really should reserve our judgment, because right now we're only hearing one side of the story. We don't know, you know, what this other guy would say. But my other concern is, you know, Tony is saying that he thinks that this guy has something in his pocket. First of all, how did he get into the venue without being checked? So now security is suspect, because when I came into the ball, they checked me thoroughly. So I don't know how this guy got in with the whatever weapon. I don't know how Tony's friend got in with the mace. So that's another issue. I think that when people go to balls, if you can't control, if you can't do whatever you do to a point where you're still aware of what's going on, then you just either should not do it at all or don't go to balls. Because
I definitely understand that.
This violence is just ridiculous. It's so crazy. And I was in the side of the ball. I didn't even know it was a fight at all. But I did get a little bit of the mace in my throat, like very, very little. And I said, there's something going on. There's some kind of mace or something, dust or something. I didn't even know it was a fight. I just think that people need to really think about consumption when they go to these balls, because you don't know what's going on. I don't do anything when I go to balls but enjoy. I don't drink. I don't smoke at all. But you just can't do it. And I tell you, I really think that if you did see an opportunity to get away, to go to security or something, that guy should have been thrown out. If he was harassing you constantly, there's nothing wrong with going to security and saying, this guy's harassing me, I think he may have a weapon. That's their job. they probably would have investigated him. And if he had something, then that would have been the end of it. It wouldn't have been no fight. It wouldn't have been on hip-hop world. Now they talk about banning you from the balls. All this stuff is – I really think that if you see – a way to get out of it, you should do it and don't care about what nobody thinks about you, because instead of you worrying about somebody thinking you're a punk and then doing something, you could either be in jail or 6 feet under. So that's my take on that. Everybody enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you. 267-902, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Are y'all talking about the World Star Hip Hop?
Yes.
Obviously.
I was just tuning in. Yeah. What the hell was going on? Like.
Who's this,
okay,
Nicole?
Yeah.
Y'all
see
you
later.
All right,
and,
Nicole.
You're gonna have to catch up, honey, because I know you just called in, but you're gonna have to catch up with the room or something.
Is she still on the phone?
I pressed her on mute. She's muted.
Girl, you gotta be
here. Little Tony. That was gonna be my last question to you, and then I wanted to change up the topic and stuff. How do you feel about this? As far as maybe, you know, being put on the ban list because of this, how is that going to affect you and your opinion? Is it gonna be something that you're gonna, you know, not physically fight, but fight, you know, not for it to happen, or, you know, so forth and so on. Have you taken all that into consideration?
I have. A few people have been talking to me about that, like, you know, you could wind up on the ban list for what happened and stuff like that. And I think that's tired. Like, I do think that there are consequences to our actions. I do think that. But I feel like I think it's tired that I was provoked to that limit and that I have to be punished for. Although we can walk away from situations, but I really enjoy coming to balls, and they're not the same as they used to be, but I feel like enjoying to come out and, you know, just seeing everybody, you know, coming somewhere where I can feel accepted and coming somewhere where I can be me, you know? And that's like, and I think that's tied that, that I may be on the ban list for what happened. If I could, like, do it all over again, I probably still would voice my opinion, most definitely, because that's one thing I definitely have with the mouth. That's always one thing. But I probably wouldn't have taken it that far if I didn't know that it ended up a world star and just, like, gained so much negative attention. So, like, I don't know. I would hope that I wouldn't be put on the ban list. But, you know, there are consequences for our actions. If it happens, you know it happens.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for calling in. And, Dimitri, I don't know if you know if he's going to stay on your phone or not, but I'm not going to mute you because you're still a part of the cast. But I want to thank you, Little Tony, for coming in and expressing yourself. I have wished to, I'm getting messages that the other two want to come on or they're trying to come on, but I don't know what the problem is. I don't go chasing after people. If you have their number, you guys are sending me the number. I'm not calling them. I would have to get permission to call them. So please contact them and see if they want to come on and tell them to call in and press 1 and we will bring them on.
Is the ban list not, the ban thing is not even into play yet, is it, correct? Or is it still?
By September 23rd, I think, or something like that.
I thought they were redoing that and they was holding off on the ban thing for a while.
But if they're redoing the ban list, they actually are still going on with it. Lil Tony is not on the ban list. Lil Tony will not be on the ban list. So I don't know where that came from, but trust me, I talk to ban list people, so it's not going down that way.
Okay. So the ban list is not even going through reconstruction? That's what I was told. So there is actually...
No, it's being implemented. It's definitely still being implemented.
It is being revised.
Right.
It's being revised, so it's not being implemented then.
It is being implemented, but it's also being revised at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I made a smart comment about the revise and the reconstruction at the same time. No problem. I said we can drive on the bridge even though it's broke. Okay, go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Yeah,
it's
definitely kind of crazy. But all right, Paul, I'm coming back to you because, yes, you brought up a topic that I wanted to go into right now, and this is where we're talking about the girls. These type of boys when we know better. So call the 347-829. You're back on the air and start this topic off.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
The lighter.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes. I was just simply saying that, you know, maybe it could have been a point. I want to go back to Monday night. Maybe it could have been a point. What's her name? Y'all call her pussy or whatever, of a point of her taking advantage of this guy or whatever, because she knew his circumstances. First of all, she said that she brought him all the way from Atlanta to New York. So within that time, I'm sure she had time to figure out what's going on with him. They had conversations and stuff like that. So she already knew what the tease was, what she was going to give and all that stuff. So she plotted and she planned. But when things didn't go her way or whatever, then that's when she got upset. And then this is how it got to a point where she started spilling the tease, how she did all these sexual things with him and all this stuff like that. And I felt that was just inappropriate. And as you being a female figure, half of that stuff that came out of her mouth should have never came out of her mouth. Because
okay.
It's very personal. And if you're saying that you're a lady, you ought to remain as one.
Here
you
go.
You also got to remember this caller. She was very adamant about her being a chick with a dick. Okay. Not sugarcoating the fact that she is a femme queen and she is not embarrassed. She's not like the other girls and she does not have this disillusion that she's a woman. She knows exactly what she is. I'm not defending her or justifying what she said at all.
But this is what she said. You know, she clearly
did say she made it very clear that she is who she is and she knows that what she has between her legs is still there. She's not bothered. She's just real about it. I have to say that much.
But you're only talking about her. She will say that, but what about the rest of the girls who feel some type of way or how she addressed the situation? Everyone is not going to feel the same way or do.
That's the whole thing differently.
That's
the
part of
us
being different people.
And female figures all to the same. They're all different because they're all individuals. Some of them feel like her, and a lot of them feel like, ew, why would she say that? Some of them do believe that they're women, and that's okay because they are female figures. But we also have to understand that she comes from a different side of the tracks. I actually remember her from back in the day. So she comes from a different side. She's not one of those girls. She's a very bangy motherfucking cunt girl. That's just who she is.
Absolutely. And I agree with what you're saying on that part. But when you've done things like that, personal sexual things like that, you ought to keep that between yourself and that person. I don't care what went down.
That's your opinion versus her opinion.
Right.
That's how we're different.
So whatever he did to her, and clearly she did something to him by saying whatever they did and what she did to him. But two wrongs don't make a right.
I think you're missing the underlying feeling. The underlying thing, well, I got all of that. I don't know if anybody got it, that she was kind of lightweight hurt. That's what I got out of a lot of that. That she was like,
I just don't want to say it, but definitely.
And then that's what I got out of all of that. I mean, because, you know, she is one thing to say one thing, but then she was kind of going added on. To me, it was, you hurt me, now it's my chance to hurt you.
That's where we're going with this topic. I don't want this to turn into attack pussy, attack.
No, not at all.
It's a personal opinion.
But that's what I got out of all of that.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
I just want to say, and this is going to go across the lines, be it straight, bi, gay, transgender, or whatever you want to call yourself. A predator is a motherfucking predator. And just like anything else, we all know what a predator is and what a predator does. A predator seeks out those individuals that don't have anyone, who have no family, who have no friends. They just don't have anyone. They are completely alone, and they play on that, and they use that to their advantage. Now, sometimes the person that's getting played turns it around, and they become the person that's now playing the other person. And in that situation, and in any situation, two wrongs don't make a right. She was hurt. We all got that she was hurt. And now the problem is, how do we deal with when someone, how do we deal with this? How do we stop the predators becoming predators where they get used and then they throw the person to the other person? I mean, if you listen to the beginning of the story, he was in Atlanta. And in Atlanta, he was living off of somebody. And then when they got tired of him, he moved to someplace else. When do we stop using babies and educate the babies, you teach them to get a job, put them in school, help them, instead of putting them out there and using them?
Let me play devil's advocate. Okay, just real fast. Okay, now you're saying the predators and we're preying on babies and this and that, and I do totally agree with you. But you cannot change or make a person do something that they don't want to do. Most of these trades that are passed along trade that are destined, that go from girl to girl to girl to butch queen to girl to butch queen to girl, they do it because they want to, not because we're passing them along. I am the queen of passing somebody along when I'm done with them. But it does not mean that I'm a predator. It does not mean that these people don't want it. Masculine, I should say, mentality. Once you're done with the toy, you put it to the side, and if your friend plays with the toy, then, oh, well.
Okay. Now, let me say something about that. When is a girl going to realize that you can't take someone in and they're not going to change? And why are we allowing them to get that close to hurt us, to turn us, to serve us? And that's where my question is with the backlash. You know, they serve, and then we read, and the backlash that comes along with it. Why do we sit here and we allow ourselves to, you know, bring these people in and think that we're going to change them or try to change them or whatever? And then all of a sudden we're so hurt and devastated when they turn us.
It's the same thing with friendship, Jasmine. You know, you don't always know that someone's going to turn you. You don't always know the situation. And sometimes you believe, I'm a firm believer in this, just because a person turned you don't necessarily mean that they're going to turn me. Just because a person don't like Jasmine doesn't mean that they're not going to like Vonna. That's just how I look at people. So I don't judge them based upon what they did to you or what they'll do to me.
That's true, Vonna. But you also,
if you keep pressing one, I'm not going to keep, you know, come to you. It's not going to make me come to you any quicker. So don't press one every 5 seconds.
That's true, Ivana, but what you also got to look at, you also got to look at the history of the person. You know what I'm saying? Track records don't lie. You know what I'm saying? So you got to kind of intervene. If you're going to intervene or try to come in, then you have to do something different or offer something different. Maybe don't have them stay with you and try to help them. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that I agree to. I don't believe in just letting anybody stay with you.
Right.
But a turner, you don't know a turner. Like, we've all been turned by somebody, by a lover,
okay,
by a friend.
I'm not going to put Naima's story, because I know Naima's story. And I'm not going to put Naima's story out there.
But we know that a lot of the people that we're talking about, or, you know, these situations and stuff, half of the girls right now, all they do is sleep in circles.
That's true.
And they know. It ain't like they don't know. They know. Maybe the person that originated it didn't know, but they know. Because that's how the girls are. They talk among themselves. I got this boy over here. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm getting ready to get rid of him. Oh, they got his number. They hitting him up because they heard that this thing kicked him out. So now they hitting them up, and now they going over there, and he's going to go over there and turn this one. And that, I mean, we knew he was a mess already because so-and-so told us that he was a mess.
And that's where all this is coming from.
And the girls are trying to get their jollies and their rocks off, so then they take it in and they pay it so they can get their rocks off. That's the masculine mentality that I was talking about. The girls just want to get a nut. Like, we're going to be really serious about the situation.
Exactly.
Nothing wrong getting a nut. But, child, it has to be a limit on, okay, once that nut is over with, you got to go your way and not go mine.
Right. Just get the nut and let it go. That's what we're right.
But it's not just us as simp queens. The butch queens do it as well.
Exactly.
That's why I'm trying to let them know. It's not just us. It's not like, oh, my God, we're just weak simp queens or we're just playing a pass-along game. These butch queens do it just the same way. It's just a mentality that people have definitely in this lifestyle. It's to get a nut, and then, you know, you try to wine and dine, and you sell all these dreams to get your nut, and you probably end up getting turned after you sell the dreams. But that's the way it goes.
Yeah. But then it just comes with such a big price. Let me go to these other callers. 202-670, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
I'm calling in because I called last night, and when I brought up the topic about the ban list, it was said that the ban list was, you know, they no longer were going to even enforce the ban list. And then tonight I'm hearing it come up again that it's now...
Yeah, I'm confused about that as well.
I would just wonder if you could possibly have Tony call in or someone to really push, because it's like people really get confused. Like, how do you even, if the thing is implemented now, how are we going to respect this thing now? One minute they're going to oppose it, next minute they're not. One minute everybody who fights is going to be put on it, then now I'm hearing people want to make exceptions. Like, I mean, I feel like anybody who fights should be put on the ban list, point blank, period. Like, there's no excuse
for
fighting.
Is this ban list so serious to everyone? I mean, are any of you afraid? Like, are you afraid to come out?
It's not a point of this being afraid. Hold on, Mark.
I'm asking because it's becoming a very big thing that people do want to know what's going on with the ban list, but nobody wants to take an arm or a hand to the next step. And then reach out to them on Facebook and say, or Papa, you kind of carry that, like, y'all don't even take the initiative to talk to the person you want. You're waiting for a bunch of grown people to put a bunch of grown people in check. I'm not understanding this.
I don't think it's so much the point of putting people in check. It's just a point that if you're coming up with a rule or a guideline or a constitution, per se, like, if you're going to put it in effect, when does it go into effect? And like you said, Mark, like, we had this conversation early. I have talked to the representatives of my house. I have talked to other people in the house. It's like, what's going on with this? Is it just for certain kids, or is it for certain situations? Because if it's intact now, or is it not intact? Because what I got from last night, that it wasn't intact. And I guess what I'm getting tonight, that it is intact. So I'm kind of confused.
No, I'm going to tell you what because I'm in the room and I'm looking at it right now. The bottom line is we all need to be on the same page, understanding the situation. Is it really something that we need to do? But there's so many problems with it and loopholes, just like what took place this weekend. Are we going to put people on the ban list that are defending themselves or feel threatened? Or is it going to be only the shit starters? Some people feel one way, some people feel another way. So until we can all be in agreement on it and even see if it's mandatory, or are there other options, like I used the example of someone feeling threatened or harassed or whatever, them going to promoter, maybe we can handle the situation ourselves where it's not even mandatory. Or like Mark said, like, you've seen so-and-so carrying at the ball and their own brothers and sisters or friends or whatever hitting them up and letting them know that they're looking like fools, and maybe we can fix it among ourselves where it doesn't even have to happen. So those are some of the things that we as a group and all 32 members are trying to say and, you know, get across to each other and try to come to an understanding and agreement on it, because we don't want to implement something where we all don't agree on, or if we're listening to it, you, the community, and the listeners and the spectators and everyone, we're hearing everything that you guys are saying as well. So we're taking all of that into consideration. So that is why it's just such an issue. Is it going to happen? We don't know. If it's going to happen, maybe, yes or no. And what are the rules and how is it going to happen? Those are the things that we're trying to figure out.
So it's not a play thing.
And unfortunately, we're still there. We're still trying to work it out.
Okay. All right.
So that's why we're going to go with the ban list. But, again, to me personally, I feel that we all grown. We shouldn't have to go through all this.
But, Jazz, why? Whatever happened to just having goddamn bouncers at your damn event? Because let me tell you something. The same people that bounce at the club in Dallas for the regular club night, all those security in there that will take you and throw you in the middle of the street are the same security that comes to the ball and will take you by the pants and throw you out just like Jazz on the Fresh Prince and don't care two fucks about it. And if you try to fight them, you're going to jail.
Well, the reason why is the budget. The reason why is because everyone can't afford it. The reason why is because we're already dealing with security, just like what happened again this weekend, that is not thoroughly doing their job, and people are still allowed to come inside with stuff. These are the reasons.
If you cannot afford sufficient security, you should not be having a ball. And that's what I feel about it. Since it's going to do it, we're going to take it there. Everybody want to have these balls and stuff? Because I know one thing. If I have a ball, I'm going to have.
But Jay Rock, let's look at it this way. Let's look at this. People can barely sufficiently afford a trophy. So how can they efficiently afford security?
Right.
Well, you know what? And this is what I say to that. People need to pick and choose.
Yes.
Your balls wisely.
Yes.
That'll be another reason. Could you imagine a promoter that is being told when they're starting to realize that everybody's not coming to their balls and, damn, why is my crowd so little? And then you start having the name, not, oh, she don't ever have her money, or, oh, she don't have trophies or whatever. You start getting the name that you're not providing the right type of security or safety because you're allowing anybody in your place, and this is what's constantly happening at your events. If you pick and choose your balls wisely, you know, the House of, you know, Allure gets the ball, and, you know, they have child metal detectors and they have security all over the place and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
you feel comfortable and, you know, feel threatened and gay-friendly and stuff, then that's going to be something that, and it may happen every year, that's going to be a trademark of theirs. You know, you don't ever have
mm-hmm.
to worry about that. And, you know, that's what we have to do. But, again, we still be going to all these little naughty-ass functions
yep.
where people don't give you your money and give you these nasty trophies, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, they do this and that, and y'all still keep going to those balls, but then want to be the first one to complain when something doesn't go right.
643-404,
you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi, this is Pussy.
Hey, Pussy.
Hey.
Pussy.
Hey.
Yeah, and I guess I was supposed to call in. I guess people wanted to ask me questions about certain things I said yesterday on the phone.
No, Pussy. Nobody said that you were going to call in and ask you no questions.
Oh, no. Okay, now I'm not going
to
say, you know.
Tonight. The boys were supposed to call in tonight, so we're going to let them give them a chance to call in. Actually, I think I see one right now. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, I do. All right, Pussy, I'm putting you on hold.
Okay.
And if anything gets deep, I'm going to come back to you. But JR, I think the other participant in the event, I think is on the air. JR, are you there?
No, this ain't JR. This is Tyrell.
What is this?
The room.
That's
the dude, the fart, in the brown jacket.
Devaris. Oh,
Devaris. Yeah, Devaris.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, what's up, Devaris?
Yo, what's good with y'all?
What's up?
Hey,
all right, Michi. I'm gonna let Michi. Go ahead and do what you gotta do. Thank you for calling in, Devaris.
Right, yeah, you good. Yeah, I appreciate you for calling in. I spoke with you earlier. So, you know, just kind of give us the listeners, you know, a feedback on, you know, the situation, how you feel about the situation, how it's now gotten this big media attention because you even had given me the viral load count of the clip when we were chatting earlier. So, you know, kind of give us your feedback on that situation.
I mean, like, honestly, the way I feel about this shit, this shit's crazy. Like, it wasn't even my fight, to be for real with you. Here's what happened. We was in a little ball or whatever. My brother turned around and was outside, and he came back inside saying he had a problem, right? And I'm like, it was good. He said that some dude was messing with him or whatever because he felt like he ashed his cigarette on him and shit like that. So he came back and told me who the dude was. Me and the dude started looking at each other, me mugging each other and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Words were spit. It went back and forth. And then I went outside to go smoke a cigarette. When we went to go outside smoking a cigarette, dude was still ready to pop off because before we even went out, he turned around and started taking his jacket off in the club like he's about to pop off right then. I went there, I felt like, you know, it's whatever. I go outside, we start smoking our cigarette. Words exchanged, and you know what I'm saying? We just start wrecking from there. But I feel like dude was really a bitch for that because, like, you know what I'm saying? Bad niggas are saying on YouTube, whatever, yo, let him pepper spray and do whatever you got. You supposed to know how to fight. It's this, is that, and a third. But I'm like, yo, for real, if you're a real nigga about your shit, you should have threw the hand straight up like me. Because you can even see in the videos, yo, nigga hit me and I fell down, right? As soon as I fell down, he got ready to run up on me. But as soon as I got back up, nigga stood back and still. Anytime I stood still and he didn't know what the fuck was about to happen, he was all, you know what I'm saying, quiet. He didn't want to do shit.
Okay, so let me ask
you. Like, you want to call yourself this, or you want to get traded to do this, blah, 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 and the third. I was told, like I said in the video, I don't really give a fuck about none of that. Is what he going to do
okay
right now? And I feel like, yo, that was a real bitch move. Really, I want to see him again for the one.
So,
on some straight up shit.
I had to find him mute a little while, but I'm not going to find him. Just a little time.
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
So, Javoris, now, just a quick question. You know, witnesses have stated, different people are wondering, you know, the fact that you had your hands in your pocket and, you know, you pretty much sound like, you know, you're a street nigga, and we all know, you know, a nigga walk up with you with the hands in your pocket, you know, and you just got your hands in the pocket because you had your hands in your pocket, like, the whole time. So, you know, did you have a weapon on you, you know,
nah,
like, you know?
I'm at a ball. Like, for real, I feel like anybody that I see out there, for real, I can see up their hands. I don't have no gun or no knife or no shit like that on me. The only thing I had in my pockets was a pack of cigarettes. That was it.
Yeah. Okay. Like I was saying, point blank, them two were in there causing trouble. They knew what they were doing. They were in there trying to, and I warned him from his time to walk away from the situation. And everybody keeps saying it was a bitch move, but from the video and from me fighting you, Abu, when we were fighting, it was no struggle with me. Like, you weren't a struggle with me at all. And even when the mace did not affect you, because the mace didn't affect you because you ate the mace. When the mace didn't affect you.
After the time I fight, my eyes were closed. Like, yo, are you seeing the video?
Okay,
I'm my eyes were closed.
Even when I connected
with the nigga and I hit him, it was because I was opening
but
my eyes
mace,
and I blinked for like
the mace
a second.
The mace didn't affect you because you went and picked up a chair. So you're talking
and you
about.
You right, I did. I mean, like, yo, it was burning like shit, but at the same time, I'm going to let a nigga bitch me like that.
Okay, so, I mean, even when me and you got into the clutch, you still were doing, like, a lot of grabbing, like, and you weren't strong at all to me. Like you weren't even a struggle to me. So, like, I was saying, even without the mace, you wouldn't have been a big problem to me. Like, I'm out here boasting, like,
Tony,
I'm the
baddest
person in the land.
Oh my God.
Apparently, you felt some type of way to show you had the mace before you could go ahead and swing straight up, because I was like,
Tony, wait a minute, guys. Okay, the fight is over. That part of the fight is over. Right now, we have you both here to try to get resolution. Talking about bitch moves and chairs and mace, let that part go. Let that part go, because y'all go back and forth with that all night long. All it's going to make you do is want to square up again. So let that go.
Okay.
I'm still not getting like this, yo. It was fucked up, for real. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even my fight. I really fought for my brother on some shit because you felt, you know what I'm saying? He asked cigarette on your jacket or whatever, and he said he didn't do it. That was whatever. But I feel like, yo, if you just want to squash it like that, because my brother said you came back and try to dap him up or whatever, all that shit should have been dead, yo. You shouldn't have came out popping off like you did. For real.
Okay.
No,
We understand all that. How do you feel now that it's hit Facebook the way it has, all the backlash that you're getting about it and your history that people are saying about you coming out?
So what are people saying about me, though?
Because
I haven't even heard all that. I've been hearing rumors about that, but the same time, I know the people that would even say anything about me, when I get around them, they're quiet and they don't say nothing like that. They're on a whole different tune. So what up?
Now, I want to take this one. Okay, Javar, this is what I want to know. Because the thing about it is, okay, at first, I'm going to be one of the ones to say that I was going in on you until it started. If you listen to the archives on the Monday night show and on the Tuesday
really,
night show.
This is my first time ever calling in on some shit like this. This is
okay.
Literally.
If you ever, if you hear it, we were going in, until the story started getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Now as the stories unfold and you begin to peel back the onion, I'm trying to figure out, like, it's making it seem like you this bad person, and the reason why I kept hitting you up on Facebook telling you to call in, I want to know, you know, how do you feel about, okay, this fight has brought you out, and now there's, like, you're this tranny, Turner.
All right, let's just say this. Let me just break it down to you, Gerard. The thing about it is that we've been hearing for the past 2 days that you're a young man. You're 20 years old. You're basically in a place where, you know, you're kind of lost. You've been here from Atlanta to here to New York. You've been staying back and forth with people. You don't really have family. So this fight kind of, a lot of people have gotten, not just about the fight, have gotten a lot of sympathy for you because of what we've been hearing over the last 48 hours. This is another reason why you're here, to basically clear the air about what's going on, about you being what people are saying that you are. You know,
like
we don't know you at all. None of us,
six
people know you. We're trying to get your side of that point of the story. The fight is over.
All right, so set this out. I mean, like, go ahead, because I know you got some type of list. If not that, you know what people have been saying because y'all hosting the show. Let me go ahead and break it down to you about what's true and what's not, because, like I said, there's only a handful of people that really know me like that compared to people that don't. They just talk because they hear what other people say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so give us your history.
Right.
Yeah, break it
down. I mean, like, so check this out. Here's me. You know what I'm saying? Was in a relationship, whatever. Moved from Atlanta, Georgia to New York. I turned around and met pussy. Bitch only knew me for, like, you know, really in a whole 2 months. A week, honestly, broken up into 2 months. And that was me coming back and forth, in and out, and that was it. We got into a little fight or whatever because she feels like, yo, the nigga I called my brother, we was messing around or some shit. So, you know what I'm saying? She started spreading mad shit. She said on Facebook, before I have AIDS, I'm running up and down the states, fucking mad people and spreading shit. And even though, like, yeah, I posted Facebook results from my HIV status 24/7. Like, anytime I take a test, that's not true. I've heard something about Naeem and some other shit. Nigga, yo, for I stayed at Naeem's house, it's whatever. Didn't do nothing like that. That's the case, I'd be on positive, because same time, this bitch is sick, too. I'm put it out there like
wait,
that.
Jasmine, I got it.
People can turn around and say shit about me. Why can't I turn around and put my
story
out?
I gotta let him defend himself, because we heard
because
it.
Because neither Pussy nor Naeem said anything about an HIV status.
No,
neither
and
Pussy,
this is going on deeper than
no,
before.
Not even say anything about an HIV stand.
This has been going on for a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, Shorty doesn't even know me like that, but for real, she feels like because she lost me, whatever, she can turn around and talk and say whatever, and I'm like, yo, I'm going to put everything out there for real.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, if the niggas want to turn around and get an assumption about me, let me go ahead and let you know about what really happened, and then take my side of the story and the side that you heard and put together what you want to call your own.
That's why you're here.
We're trying to get your history. So, go ahead. Can you continue? Try to keep the
did
HIV
you get
thing off.
Did you get hit in the head twice with a sledgehammer? Did you get hit in the head with a sledgehammer?
Yeah,
did you get hit?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, this is on some shit. Yo, Shorty told me she loves me, this is that, and the third. She brought me up here to be in love with me. I told her I wasn't really on it like that. Yeah, you put me up on, you know what I'm saying, doing, hustling and all this shit and that, and the third, but still, I wasn't on it like that, and I kept moving. Like I said, you only knew me for a week, broken up into 2 months. So when I turned around and told her, nah, I didn't love and all this shit, and third, we ended up wrecking. And when we wrecked, she turned around and hit me in the head with sledgehammers. I turned around and slammed her ass on the damn bed in her little floor in New York. And turned around, she got all chill or whatever, got amped back up. And then we turned around and went to my brother's house because he's the one she's thinking I was fucking with or some shit. And all that shit got cleared up, and we fought in the hallway, and that was the last time she ever saw me.
Okay. All right. Right,
You have fluid on your brain? Because she was saying stuff
no,
like that.
No, it's not even no shit
brain.
Like that. No.
Okay, but listen, it's not about what she said. Because she's on the line and she can say what she wants to say. It's not about that. What we're trying to find out, because, I mean, he's really.
Chill. Nah, I'm about to clear this up real quick.
It's about him and it's about the things that, you know, because I'm sure he can say what he's saying, but. You know, there's always two sides to the story. You know, these people feel that you are an individual that has turned them in some sort of way. You have hurt them. You have turned them. And do you take responsibility for that?
I mean, I don't take responsibility for that, because at the end of the day, whenever I got into anything with anybody, they know what it was from the jump. And like I said, I'm going to do the Joe for real. If I'm fucking with you, I'm fucking with you. If I'm not, I'm not. I'm going to let you know what it is for real off the jump. Just like the whole... not even shit, the whole pussy shit and all that other shit, yo, for real, most of those, like, not even that was a friend, that's my brother's friend, yo, they're from the same house or whatever, but other than that, anybody else, for real, they know my history from the jump before they even meet me. If they choose to fuck with me, that's on them, for real.
So would you consider your, so would you consider yourself a cruddy person? Would you consider yourself, so, because you're saying that they know you from the jump, so do they know that your set is that you use what you can get from the girls and then you move on?
Even that thing, when I was with any of the girls, she wouldn't call it, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I was doing my own thing, making my own bread. I didn't use them for nothing. It wasn't even like that. I could have turned around and had my own hotel room, I had my own place or whatever. That was on them, because they turned around and said they wanted to pursue something with me and told me it's okay for me to come here and stay with them or do this or do that.
So basically, in a nutshell, both of these women both tried to husband you, and when it didn't work out, they got upset.
And
they got...
that, that's just like with females. Females do the same thing, yo. Like, that's really how it was.
Okay. I don't have any other questions for this. I'm done. Honestly, listening to him now and looking at that video, the two don't match up. This man sounds very intelligent. There's nothing slow about him.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, that's why you have to hear history. You got to go by somebody's history.
Like I said, like, for a lot of people that got gossiping, doing all that shit, yo, it's really some bad thing. Yo, there may have been a history or connection of me or fucked it, did whatever. But at the same time, yo, they were either trying to pursue something that I wasn't even with, or vice versa. If they did pursue it and I was with it, yo, for it didn't work out. And you know what I'm saying? There's hard feelings behind the shit. But people turn around talking about me doing this, this, that, and the third. That shit ain't cool, yo, for real. Because, like, yo, you trying to ruin me for what? Because we didn't work out? That's how I honestly feel.
No, to be completely honest with you, I mean, I don't know, like, what side of the track you play as far as, like, coming into, like, meeting people or, you know, like, I know how it goes, you know what I'm saying? You meet JR, that's your homeboy, that's just tight, that's just y'all being tight. But you also got to remember, you enter a different realm when you step on this side. The kids on this side are not very nice when they feel like they've been hurt or betrayed. So just like women, a lot of us have that same mentality to where we want to destroy. And then there are some of us that don't feel that way. But,
right.
You know, it's a different line that you cross. And we talked about it last night. You don't know because you don't listen. But, you know, when you step into a different realm, it's different rules. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like when you go and deal with a female. When that female feel like you're not down for her no more, she gonna cause anything she can. She gonna run your name in the dirt to anybody she can. So that's just how things work sometimes on this side with some people. And that's just life, period. So even if you're 20 and you're going on 24, this may happen like 100 more times within that 4-year time period. It's just that, it's just that way sometimes.
You're right.
I truly feel that you're young, and I feel that you got a lot of growing to do, because this world that you're living in, this game that you're playing, and she's right here. She wants me to let her on, and I will let her on, but I don't want this.
Okay, Jasmine, the chat room wants me to ask him a question, and the question from the room is, are you just using the girls to find a place to stay till a butch queen comes along? Or do you really like the girls?
One, I don't even like dudes like that. I don't like dudes like that, period, to be honest with you. Like I said, this is my brother. That's it. He's right here in the room with me right now. It's not even shit like that. Me, I honestly like girls and I fuck transsexuals. That's it. Like, when I'm really trying to come at you on some shit like that and you're a TS and I'm trying to get at you, it's on some real, yo, I'm trying to get to know you, see where it goes type shit. We're probably either going to date. Not that, I'm going to be with a bitch and that's it. Like, I don't like dudes like that, period.
But you have mess. But you do mess with butch queens.
No, I don't mess with no butch queens. I don't do that shit. I don't.
Okay.
No.
Okay, Jasmine, we need to get pussy in. We need to get pussy on.
Wait. Can we get JR on the phone? Because you said JR is in the room with you as well, correct?
Yeah. This nigga said he's not trying to get on the line with nobody and none of that shit though.
Yeah, he don't want to be on here because he's about him.
All
right. I'm saying, like, that's fucked for you, nigga, on the real shit. Like, yo, you should really get on there and, like, put nah, and you say no, but that's fucked up. I mean, it's not drama, yo. I'm clearing up my name right now because it's some shit that I had to fight for you, man. You know what I'm saying? You should have put it on the court.
Exactly.
Like,
there
that,
you go.
And what you just said right there is the whole thing in a nutshell. You got into, and I understand that we do that sometimes for our friends, but you got involved in something that had clearly nothing to do with you, and now you're receiving the butt of it while that person is sitting on the sideline like nothing is happening to them. How does that make you feel?
Honestly, you know what I'm saying? For real, it's fucked up, but you know what I'm saying? Family does fucked up shit, so it is what it is.
Well, he's sitting right there, so he knows. And
we'll
another thing, everybody that's listening.
So it's kind of like the fight. He plucks the ashes, and you take the punch. So it's kind of like all of that, like, replayed tonight on the phone.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
This is real nigga shit. Go ahead.
So, whose background is that?
Oh, that's mine. I'm listening to music right now. Smoking.
You gotta cut the music down so we can hear you back.
Yeah, you gotta tell so we can hear you. We can't hear you with the music. There you go. Thank you.
Monique, everybody be quiet. Monique, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay, well, first, I'm not going to come in. I'm not going to argue. There's no reason. All this is petty. Honestly, I think to be honest, I think some of y'all members just wanted some gossip on this child. Because, see, whenever I post in that room, I had my reasons. And not, I don't know who said I was upset. Cause let me tell you, no boy or no butch queen could never make me upset. Now, I do get even. I'm a type of bitch, if y'all really do know me, which half of y'all don't. But
I do.
I'm a bitch that gets even, and that's what I've been doing, getting even back. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Cause first and foremost, because this boy is a obituary liar. Y'all could call Lily Miss Rahi. That's my other house sister. She could tell you what he put her through. That's the reason why he came to New York. Okay, first and foremost, okay, I met him on BGC, so he's not straight. He do like butch queens. He used to be on BGC.
He's right there. Talk to him.
I know. I'm looking. Me and him, we argue all the time. Mind you, he saw me in the city. We argue. He saw me in the city. He runs and stuff. There's no need. I'm telling y'all. Okay.
No, so I know since y'all
want to know already, he's lying about. Listen. Like I said, I'm not going to talk about the one. He can't even keep it real. He can't even keep it real with JR when I still got the text messages on your old phone that I took from you when you sent JR your naked picture. Why would you send? Listen. Is JR your phone? Listen. Can you please mute him? Jasmine, I'm going to hang up. Can you mute him? We both can't.
You turn on
Jasmine,
the guy. You know, how the fuck you talk about that? That's on you. Like, for real, you don't want to start me off from that shit. And you
Jasmine,
open
can
anybody.
You mute him, please?
Hold on, y'all.
Jasmine, can you mute him? Oh, I'm going to hang up because, really, this is like daily gossip. I mean, this is a bunch of bullshit, really. I really like
I mean, you don't know what you want to say. I'm going to tell what you're not going to tell because you're trying to make it seem like whatever, and it's not even like that. Like, for real, if you want to turn around and push some shit, I'll be real with it. Because I'm going to turn around and say what you're
okay.
I'm gonna hang up. No, well, y'all just won't get the tea. No more.
Really, yeah, and you wanna hang up now, but you don't care. Like you
really
said,
mean, number one,
it's
irrelevant.
Right,
cause I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do, no matter what. I mean, basically, I mean, y'all wanna hear two sides of the story, but you know, come on now.
Okay, listen, both of y'all.
They know both of y'all.
I don't think it's about Monique. Hold on. It's not personally. I don't care about the tea, and it's not about the tea to me. The whole thing is. We're dealing with an individual that we've seen fighting.
I understand that. But if y'all really trying to help him, that's what I'm saying. Right now, I'm on a positive note with this boy, and I'm going to tell the real thing. Not no gossip or tea about the boy. Really, cause he's in denial. First and foremost, I never mentioned the boy got HIV because I didn't know the boy. Number one, when I took him to the hospital when the client overdosed him on drugs, that's how I got the picture. I was at the hospital with him. The doctor pulled me to the side because, number one, quote, the doctor thought I was his aunt or whatever, and the doctor told me what's wrong with him. Okay, see, a lot of people having this boy and don't even know the real deal about what type of health issue the boy got. I do. I went to the hospital with the boy. JR didn't go. JR was a booty call. He met outside in front of my building because JR was visiting some fags on the fifth floor. He never knew JR until he met JR from my building. They not brothers. They was fuck. They was fuck. They might call each other brothers now, but they was fuck partners when they first met. Okay, so let's get it clear. They not brothers. They fuck buddies. They might call each other brothers now, which I think they still fucking. Okay. So, but all that's irrelevant right now. My thing is, I never met your boy got HIV because I didn't know. Yes, he did post that on the one of the trannies room, whatever. But everybody know how New York is. Anybody could get to could get an HIV paper and fill it out themselves. Okay, so that's not saying nothing. But I never said that either. What I said was he had fluid in the brain. That's what the doctor told me. He wasn't, so when he signed himself out the hospital the day before the 4th of July, he signed himself out the hospital so he could go hang out with gay people to smoke marijuana. The reason why we ain't together is because he wanted to do drugs, coke, pot pills, all that. And y'all all know I don't allow people doing drugs in my house. Yes, you can smoke weed in my house, but you're
but
not
Chrissy,
gonna.
Listen to me, sweetie. You said all this on Monday already. What I want to ask you while
go ahead.
On the phone. Because I know from other people what he has done to them. What did he do to you to get you upset? Or you say you're
oh, not like I said, I'm not upset.
What
I want
to
get even. See, upset, upset and get even is two different things.
Okay, what did he do to you to make you get even?
Because when I took listen, when I took him in my house, okay, he was the reason why I brought him to New York. That he said he wanted to get his life together. Because why he was in the street in Atlanta, he said he don't know who his real family is. Okay, like I told y'all before, Javar is not even his real name. That's a name he just made up on the internet. Richard is his name. Richard Bishop is his birth name.
Okay,
ID,
what did he do to get you up even?
Okay, speaking of, you know why? When I took him in my house, you know what I'm saying? Basically, he was supposed to make his money. Whatever, which he was doing, I had him escorting in my living room like I do all the trade or whatever, that I don't shake my purse. He was, he went, when he met, the thing came out when he met JR, and he first, he tried JR, he said, oh, I met these boys in your building, they want to smoke weed with me. I said, straight boys want to smoke weed with you from my building. I said, no, that don't sound right. I said, probably faggots. Lord and behold, JR was a faggot. He was a. Was, he
okay,
was
so Quincy, you was upset because of JR.
Basically, because he thought not with JR, not with JR, because of him lying to me. Because he, Javaris lied so much. He's a obituary liar. He lies about everything. That's because he's from the streets.
Okay, and he's streetwise, and I can hear that in him. But my question, one of the questions that's coming on. That's coming across my screen is why make him escort or show him that or, you know, condone that? Why not try to do some type of schooling or, you know,
because,
get him away
from the girl? Oh, because number one, he got no diploma. He didn't want to go to school. He wanted quick money, fast money. And so, I mean, I didn't want him selling drugs. And he was doing that already in Atlanta. He was selling his, I mean, he know, you know, Atlanta got that whole stroll for the gay guys. He was doing that already. He was doing that already, selling his dick and ass. So it wasn't new. So when he got here, I said, well, you know what? I know the websites you could go to. All I did was help him out. So, I mean, he was doing it already. I mean, he's gay. He's not a straight guy. He's a gay butch queen that portrayed like he fucks cunts, he fucks drag queens, he fucks trannies, and he fucks dudes. Or he fucked my dudes. So, I mean, basically, I don't know if y'all think y'all feel sorry for him. I mean, I feel sorry for somebody y'all know. I mean, basically, he's a player. He's a player.
Okay.
He's a player.
Right,
he never, now, don't get
I'm
me wrong. He,
think,
no, don't get me wrong. He,
Monique, I have to stop you, because I can still hear it in you.
No. Like, yo, you got it fucked all the way up. I'm not trying to hear that, man. I'm doing this right now, chill.
All right, you're on the air again. I'm giving you the opportunity to speak.
Hey, I'm going to call you back from another phone. This phone's about to die.
Okay, call us back.
All right.
Jedi doesn't want him on the phone anymore. That's what it sounds like.
Because I got so many messages in my inbox saying that he's in D.C. right now. He's at a hotel at a sex party right now.
Does
it matter where he's at, though? Because we already know his history.
If you're going to say one, I mean, it's a bunch of contradictions on both parts. And it's really, at this point, it's really getting nowhere.
It's not going to get nowhere. Hold on, let me go to these callers real quickly, and then I'm going back to this thing, and I'm ending that whole stuff. Private caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Caller, yes?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, for good.
Okay. I personally think that what's her name, Pussy? I think she was hurt by him. It's so obvious, and she doesn't want anyone to think that, but it's so obvious that she was hurt by him. I don't know if he told her that they were together or whatever, but something happened to make her just want to ruin him. And she
said what it was.
Yeah, she thinks she's trying to get even, right.
Thing is, I don't understand why she has so much feeling for him, but she wants him to escort. I don't understand that.
Well, I don't think she has feelings either, in all honesty. I don't think it was feelings. It's just the fact that when you lend a helping hand to someone, you can lend a helping hand to a friend or whatever, and they sit here and they turn you. You know, that's just something in our nature. You know, that's where we have to sit down and say, you know, when are we going to, you know, how deep are we going to take it? Because I've seen people try to ruin people for their relationships and stuff. You know, it's just kind of crazy. 267-206, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Maya.
Hi,
now,
Maya.
This is my whole thing. If the boy was in Atlanta doing what he was doing before and it didn't get him nowhere and it led to you sending him a ticket, then that showed that what he was doing already didn't get him anywhere, and you should have helped him go to school or something and get his GED besides sending him back to what he did, and he didn't get nowhere. And he didn't use because you didn't shake the purse. But see, you didn't just shake the purse. When he was in Atlanta, you shook the table because you got him to New York. I don't know if he's missing the point, but he's a lost boy. He knows no better. Help the fucking boy.
But you know what? Y'all also have to realize, is y'all not listen to her. This is what she does on the regular with everybody, with every guy that comes through her house. Like, this is just a thing for her. What she say, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday, she's a pimpette. It's what she does. Comes to her.
Okay.
She's not denying that she's not helping. She's turning it.
Yeah. 202-210, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Bishop.
Bishop.
I ain't gonna lie, man. See, that's exactly what I had to learn. I'm gonna just say it like this. I'm glad that brother is still alive, and I hope and pray to God that brother understands that. What he's doing to, and he said it to himself. He was cold-hearted about it. He said it. I use these women for, you know, fucking. Man, I just hope that brother know what he's doing. To each their own. You a grown man now. You know, you do your thing. But I really, 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 you know, I thought this brother was like, you know, I thought he would probably. I mean, he seemed like he probably would not learn his lesson. Like I did, because I got put together. When I got put together, let me talk about me. When I got put together, it wasn't just no, people talking about me or whatever. It went real, real bad. It went close to where, when I was dealing with my wife, and she wasn't my wife at that time, where, a transgender woman came to my wife, called the phone that she had got for me, and told my wife that I fucked your fiance in his ass. Your fiance sucked my dick. I'm going to let you know something. When shit hit the fan, it really hit the fan. Do you know it took me over 2 years to get that woman back? And then I had to explain to that woman, and I was so in denial about it, because I think he's one of the type of boys that are probably in denial about his sexuality right now. For me, I am bisexual.
What
the
is
minute
that
I slept
damn
with
noise?
The minute I slept with a transgender woman, I was considered bisexual, but I was in denial. But the thing is, when she hit the fan, you hurt somebody that's trying to help you out. And, I mean, I'm not saying she was helping him out,
But if, I mean, honestly, her fault was, if you knew that he was going to do that and he was going to throw that show when he was at your house and he was not going to do nothing for himself and you was just going to put him out there like, yeah, he was a trick, then, yeah, you should have known he was going to be a trick and you should have known it wasn't going to work out. But I'm going to keep it real with you. If he was, if, I mean, I'm not, I'm, like I said, sometimes I'll have, I don't know how to say things. I'll try to be as much as, you know, positive as I can. I'm going to let you know, it's not just what you're doing for him. It's what you have gave to him that he is giving back to you, which is sexually. Honestly, it's sexually. And that's what he looked at it as, and he knew what it was. So I'm just saying for that brother, be safe. But when you fall in love with a real female, a transgender woman or a male tries it, you understand why they tried it, and they're going to fuck up your whole world when you were really, really in love.
Okay, thank you, Bishop. Somebody's phone is really carrying, and I don't want to have to sit here and mute everybody. We have a lot of callers. 301-523, you're on the air.
I need to call you back on the line.
301-523, you're on the air.
What?
Hello?
I think that's him again. I think that's
yo,
the boy.
Yo, what's good?
Yo,
that's me.
Okay, you're back.
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
You
yeah,
sound low,
you.
But we can hear you.
Yeah, you sound low, but we can hear you.
All right, hold up.
Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, look.
Okay.
Did you hear what Bishop had to say?
You said what?
Did you just hear what the last caller was saying? I mean, your phone is carrying. You have to go
somewhere. I heard some of it.
You heard some of it?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I think? I think Bishop, since both of you are here playing in the same rooms and stuff, maybe Bishop needs to, y'all need to talk. Because Bishop is older and Bishop has been through a lot of what you go through. I think y'all need to talk.
I don't know if that's such a good idea.
216-862, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? It's me, it's Jasmine. My phone's out doing shows in this house right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, you're back. All right, Tavares, you can speak. Anybody else have anything they want to say to him?
Yes, I have a question. Are you still there with RJ at this moment? JR, are you still there with JR at this moment? Because I'm just not understanding why JR don't have nothing to say. And
hey,
he, it's
J-Rock,
like,
he don't want to talk. We there's nothing we can do about that.
Now, that's the pump move right there.
Again.
Well, that's just the type of person that he is. That's just the type of person he's always been. That's why he's not going to get on here. So it's just pointless.
Tavares, is there anything you want to say? To everyone before we, like, just wrap this portion of the show up. Any closing statements you want to say?
Is he on the phone?
I can't hear you. Your phone is really, really carrying. I can't hear you at all.
Is that him trying to talk?
Yeah.
I think that's him trying to talk.
You, whoever phone you,
you
were using before, can you ask them to let you use their phone again? Because
they
the phone that you're using now is just not working.
It don't sound like you had a sex party to me.
No. Enrique, right, shut the fuck up.
What did you say? Okay, his call dropped.
Okay.
What do you people think about that? He got 5 minutes to call in from the right number. If you guys are listening from your computers and stuff, you need to call in now because you're not going to be able to get back on.
Damn, it's bedtime already.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock. It's almost 2 o'clock, 5 minutes.
Damn, that went by fast.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I would like for him to call back and have Tony back on the phone so that we could at least try to put a resolution to that situation so that that dies.
I think the thing is kind of resolved. I don't think that they're going to get into anything. I mean, I really don't. I know JR. I've known JR for a long time. And I'm pretty sure that even if he's with JR, if he's looking for JR to help him, think that that's
going to
happen.
I think JR right now is a non-factor per se. I think it's really Jarvis and Tony that's really the factor.
Whole deal, though. He's not going to a ball. JR goes to ball. This man doesn't go to balls. JR attends the functions. It's not him. It's JR. He's a kid with JR. JR's been going to functions since 2001. So if he's going to be
with
JR.
Yeah, it's like even a band list to him wouldn't even mean anything.
Right, exactly.
Vonnie, you're back on.
Okay.
Listen, this is my take on this whole thing. Michi and Little Tony are back on the air. Little Tony still there with you?
Yeah,
they're still here.
Yeah.
All right, somebody watching TV or by a computer, turn it down. This is my whole thing about this, you know, this situation.
That came with Michi.
That's not my TV. I'm not even. My TV's off.
Really? I mean, come on, y'all. Y'all know that.
Yeah, that's my phone. Y'all don't need to turn that down, whoever that is.
I'm on.
Yeah.
I think that's Michi. Yeah, it's them. So I'm just going to meet them. Charles. I have a lot of opinions about this. But the bottom line is, I don't even know what to say.
It's a mess.
But you know what?
It is a lot of opinions
that go back and
exactly
forth and stuff. You know, he's
I
not slow
he's
by any means.
Of what he's done, I think that he knows better now not to jump in something that JR has got going on. I mean, he basically told you I jumped into something that didn't have anything to do with me. Aware of it. I really don't think that this is going to occur again with him.
I don't think none of this is going to occur anymore. I think that Little Tony did what he had to do, and maybe he took it a little too far to the extreme, but I think he did what he had to do. But as far as this trial goes, I think that him finally giving us the voice, putting a voice on everything we've seen and heard, we can now have our opinions. I know my opinion is a certain way. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we got to figure out, you know, what can be done to, you know, avoid situations like this or whatever. Because these are the type of people. The boys out there are not afraid to sit here and tell you what they're looking for, and they have these attitudes, but yet we still invite them in and stuff. We have to start protecting ourselves.
Yeah, but you know what?
You can't be a victim if you already know his history. I'm not understanding that. You can't scream victim when you know that he was a prostitute, supposedly, allegedly, on the Butch Queen show. When you know that he didn't have a family. When you know that he's supposed to be. So you can't cry victim if you know the history. I'm not buying that.
Well, I don't think anybody's crying victim. I just think people get tired of, you know, getting turned. And how do we avoid just turning? Everybody keeps pressing one.
Jasmine, you're setting yourself up for the turn when you know, like Enrique said, you know the history, you know what the fuck, how he gets down, and yet you still turn around and you unlock your door to the bullshit. So how can you say, you cannot be mad at anybody but yourself? You knew you wanted the nut, you knew you wanted the boy for the time being, so you accepted all the bullshit that came along with it. That is your fault.
Right, and then when you deal with somebody, I mean, me personally, I haven't dealt with anybody in months, but when I deal with people, I open the option. I don't do that whole, you hurt my heart, you broke my heart, you know, you tarnished me, you turned me. There is no such thing, because there's a possibility of anything going on. If you know
Well, you can't be. If you can't trust your family, you can't trust anybody. So therefore, when you open the door to a strange man or a strange woman or even a transsexual or whatever, you have to open up to the possibilities that anything can occur in that relationship. Anything.
Exactly. Especially when you're taking the person to prostitute.
347-829. Hey, Jasmine. I actually agree with everything that you guys are saying. Basically, stop setting yourself up for the worst when you've already been down this road. But then my question is, and I can't help myself, and I'm not attacking her, but my question is there something wrong with pussy if she's always getting into this, if she's always finding these guys and she's always turning it? Is there something wrong with her mentally then?
Well, I mean, you got to think about it like this too. And I have to say this in her defense because I'm probably...
Well Mark, let her say it. She's here. Go ahead.
Okay, hello.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Okay, number one, I don't think you even know me, and this is the first time that something like this happened to me. Now, first, I don't know, maybe you don't even understand the story. If anything, I was trying to help the boy out. This had nothing to do with love, that I never loved the boy. We only had sex twice, okay, really. After I found out how messy the boy really was and the real tea on the boy about the boy really liking other guys, the sex part was over. Basically, he was making my money. I was letting him whore for my living room, and he was paying me for working in my living room. It wasn't a relationship, so for the young caller that calling about feelings, no, it was no love. Basically, I was his pimp. I was never mad because he was never my boyfriend, okay? Okay, he was somebody I was trying to help. Now, I started having feeling sorry for him because I knew his background. He told me he didn't have no family. Now that when he fought the cops, when they was trying to take him to the hospital, when he had the overdose, he jumped up. You should have saw him when they had him on, like, they woke him up because he was not unconscious. He started fighting the cops. I had to restrain him down. I think that's how they probably found out my tea, because when I restrained him down on the bed in the ambulance, I like, calm down. He's like, don't leave me, don't leave me. That's when I knew he had really mental problems. Not only that, the third time when I attacked him in my house for disrespecting me, he called the cops on me. Right, when I pepper sprayed him and I was going to stab him up in my house, he did call the cops on me, and the cops didn't arrest me because my word against his word. And plus, like I said, he was in my house trying to fight me. He signed himself in the mental hospital. He was in the mental hospital in the Bronx. So that's why I really knew he had mental issues. And why he had mental issues is because guys like JR, who really don't care about, and they really care about the dick, they don't know that boy not supposed to be on drugs. Like I said, he got a lot of shit wrong with him because I guess he's been turned out ever since he was 14 and 15. See, at least when he was in my house, I didn't have him doing drugs. See, somebody like JR, they just want the dick from him. They're giving him drugs. Everybody know JR is a cokehead, whatever, a drug addict. So JR giving him drugs.
Wait a minute. Okay, you didn't have him doing drugs in your house, but you had him prostituting in your house.
Exactly.
He was, number one, he did it already. He just, you know why? He didn't have money for a hotel.
I'm about to either end the show. Because it's giving me a headache, or are we going to just stop? Because it's getting out of control. Listen, the bottom line is we're sitting here, and all that will happen is all irrelevant in my eyes. The bottom line is we need to start thinking about ourselves. We need to start thinking about how we're going to take care of ourselves and protect ourselves and not allow this to happen. That's what it boils down to. I just don't want it to be everybody, you know, she's sitting here explaining herself and what she's going through, and then I'm getting a million messages about, you know, how it's making her look. I'm not going to sit here and make her look bad or allow herself to make her look bad or allow everybody to sit here and keep talking about her and reading her because that's my sister, so I'd just rather just leave it alone. Y'all know what happened. She did what she had to do. She brought him in. She helped him out in whatever way she felt she wanted to help him out because of his lifestyle.
he already said what he had to say. I'm sure that we picked up on it by his voice. He don't sound like ain't nothing wrong with him. And, child, we need to figure out something. 202-499,
he was just talking about...
Hello?
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 Yes, hello?
Yes.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Kelly.
Kelly's not on the show.
I'm sorry. Hi, my name is Lazima. How are you doing? And I know Tony. And Tony has been in front of mine for many years. And I know, and I'm just saying, and no one's really defending him in a way, because, you know, being is really hard thing in our lifestyle. He's been attacked 5 times with a firearm, honey. He has post-traumatic stress. You know, he's dealing with issues and things happen. And, you know, some people react negatively in situations when they feel that they're being disrespected. And I think everyone in the gay community can agree with that and can relate to that in some form of way. And so I think everyone's attacking him because they're just going to have the real problem they have with the ballroom scenes, and not just the ballroom scenes, they're going to fight, and the ballroom scenes, no one is really getting their grace where it should be. And that's what they really have problems, but they always try to put it on something else. The girls are still going to go to the ballroom scene. They're going to stop trying to say they're not going to go to the ballroom scene, but they're going to keep going. Stop going ahead and saying that, because y'all going to stop. Y'all going to keep going. Just go ahead and shut up. That's all I'm saying. But still, Tony is really a sweet person, for real, for real. She just got caught off guard in a situation that somebody was real pressed and got that video, honey. And it was God. It was full. It was love. No shame. That video was love. I like to thank you for coming out. Because that video was love. No shame. No, but thank that person. Okay.
I don't think we were attacking Tony. Tony, do you feel as though we were attacking you?
Can we have silence? Can we just have... I need, you know what, let me play a commercial real quick.
Icons, legends, statements, and stars, the legendary Kai Balenciaga presents Take No Prisoners, a night of all-out battling. Who'll bring 2013 in with a victory? Will it be him or will it be you? Who's going to win and who's going to lose? With the hottest categories and the hottest competition, Grand Prize, Femme Queen Face, bring a memorable entrance for $1,000. Grand Prize, Whipped Queen Performance, the Masters of Vogue, $1,000. Mini Grand, open to all team, High Fashion versus Urban Streetwear, the Dynamic Duo, and Mini Grand 2, Schoolboy Realness, the Presidential Award, and other cast categories. The ball date is January 5th, 2013, in Washington, D.C. Legend Stars and Statement will begin at 3 a.m. sharp, and Femme Queen Face will be the fifth category of the night. The paparazzi will be in the building, so come dressed to impress. You gotta know what to wear, when to wear it, where to buy it, and how to style it. Get ready to battle, get ready to cheer, cause Take No Prisoners is going to be fierce. Not shady, but fierce, fierce.
Okay, we're back.
Hello? Hello?
I'm back.
Hey.
Hello?
Yeah. Hello.
I'm going to need these hoes to stop calling in here from the short bus and just start speaking. Oh, they're getting on my nerves.
Yes, that hello is wearing me.
Right. I don't understand why how the caller thought we were attacking Tony.
Why don't we... can we not talk about them no more?
All right. You want to change the subject, Jasmine?
No, Jasmine, I have a question about turning, like, these trade. Why we keep calling these people trade? Ain't no such thing as trade no more. These are boys doing thug drag. They're called Trish, trade fish. They're no longer trade, okay? So will people quit calling these people trade? They don't even exist no more.
No, trade exists. It's just these people that they're calling trade are not trade.
I have a problem with that word, too, because if you're having boys, you're not exactly trade. You're just a bisexual male.
I'm talking about straight men. I'm not talking about no gay man. I'm talking about straight men trade. I'm not talking about no gay men.
Oh, so you're talking about straight men that don't have boys, that don't have
sex
at all.
No, ain't no straight men that having no boys anyway. So
okay,
anytime
you
have a boy, you're a butch queen to me.
There you go. I think a lot of people are missing that part.
So this is what we're dealing with. I wish it was more. I mean, the only person that could really talk about it is Vanna. But Vanna, girl,
yeah.
What do you think about the girls that are taking in these boys? And I'm not saying this is the example. You know, this is what happened with Pussy and all that. I'm not saying that at all.
I'm just saying, because we know it happens. The girls,
right,
like he just said, you know, he, this is the type of people he messes with. The girls that take them in, and then they wind up getting certain stuff. I mean, what the hell? Like, why does it keep happening? Are we so insecure about ourselves that, you know, it just makes us feel good to have a man laying there next to us? And then all of a sudden, when they turn us, we want to feel like the world has ended and we got to sit here and do all this stuff back to them. I mean, what is the issue? Like, what do we have to find within ourselves to avoid those situations?
Let me say this. And this is a conversation that me and you have had privately. And it's about self-loving yourself. It's about caring about yourself. Most slim queens definitely start feeling like, okay, they can't talk to queens because they're going to get turned. They can't talk to trade because they're going to get turned. So they lean towards anything that makes them feel comfortable. And when you start doing that, you start just accepting anything and not accepting what's worth. And that's what a lot of girls do. Definitely, I'm not gonna lie, 90% of the girls, that's what they do. And you can look all over Facebook, you got girls crying about this boy today, crying about this boy tomorrow. That's just what the girls do. The girls are a lot of transsexuals are lonely people. And when you become lonely, you do things to pacify this. And when someone turns you, once you open up your arms to them, then you become vengeful. Well, I don't care what anybody says. I will speak my mind because I can talk about I stay up. Girls that will run around playing this season, our girls are hurt and are bitter, and they need to protect themselves rather more than the boy. It is a bitter thing when you want to get even with somebody. It is a bitter thing that you want to do if you want to assault somebody when they turn you. And that's the case. That's just, because one turn does not deserve another. But you're an older person and you're this bad bitch. You don't have to turn somebody to slay them because they're going to get slayed regardless. And the girls just don't understand that.
Can I jump in here for a minute? Because I don't want it to, because how I look at it, it's not a transgender thing. It's not a it's the butch queen thing too. Because I know butch queens who meet a boy, find out the boy's kind of sort of homeless, and they take the boy in. They know the boy is a whore. They know that the boy is going to do any by any means necessary to keep a roof over his head. But they take him in, they husband them, they buy them things, they do what they need to do for the time, because, again, yes, the sex is involved, but along with the sex, they're thinking, okay, well, I got this bitch in my house. I got in-house dick. While he's here, I can kind of sort of turn him into my husband. Or I can kind of sort of make this a relationship. But you can't make a relationship with something first. You have, don't make, you got to have both be on equal ground. And if I don't have shit, and I'm coming into your house, and everything is in your house, and you're providing me, and I know that there's somebody else out there that's got a little more than you, I'm going to use you for what I can use you for till that other person is ready to take me in. And that other person can know about you. And while you thinking, oh, well, yeah, I'm just doing this and we just doing this for the time being, you're even though you don't want your feelings to get involved, when you sleep with somebody, your feelings get involved. And you can say, oh, it's not about I'm not hurt. Yes, you are, because we all get hurt. Because if you're not hurt by somebody, trust and believe, I've been turned. We've all been turned. Every single person on this phone and is listening has been turned. And it's how you deal with being turned. You either deal with it and you move on, or you get vengeful, vindictive, and you want to see that person, and you want to get that person back. And we all know that there's some people that have turned us, and we just let them go. And then there's some people that turned us because we felt something for them that we got to get them back.
Mark, any opinions on all this? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Enrique. It's not Mark.
Okay, J-Rock, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
That might have been Mark that was calling me while I was talking. Hold on, Jasmine.
No, what I have to think about all this, speaking of turning, this is not, like I said, this is not only with the film queens or nothing like that, because we had a, I'm not going to say his name because I'm pretty sure y'all seen it on Facebook, a butch queen that got turned, and he took in someone trying to get him to change his ways and, you know, and stuff like that. And the first thing that everybody started saying was, oh, you tried to fuck him, you tried to do all that. And then he got mad, and I told him, don't get mad at them or nothing like that. That's the queen's going to say what they want to say. But he tried to get the boy to change his life, stop stealing, and the boy ended up turning him and stole all his stuff. And so, you know, and I just told him, you know, you can still help people, still be a kind-hearted person, but you just got to be careful how you do it. Don't do it in your house. Do it from afar and help them get their own damn place.
But you know what's sad about all of this is that we're sitting here, we're talking about trade. We're talking about train chasers. We're talking about just picking up someone and this happening, but what about the relationships, the people that are in relationships? And just like the boy a week or two ago, if I'm not mistaken, he's in a relationship with his lover, and his lover killed him because of an argument.
Yeah, exactly.
Enrique.
Yes, I'm here.
I can't, for some reason, it won't let me call Mark. Do you have Mark's phone number?
I have to look on my phone. Can you text it to me?
I'm about to do it now.
Okay.
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I am on Facebook.
All right, I'm about to send it to you.
I mean, we're sitting here and we're dealing with a world and a society where there's just so much. And, whose phone is that?
Huh?
Did you say something, Lana?
No, I said you're absolutely right, Jasmine. You're definitely right about, you know, definitely we talk about so many petty things, but definitely dealing with that topic about the guy who killed his lover. You know, we talk about so many other petty things, but it's so many other things going on that we overlook.
Yeah, and you look at that, like, and that's why I say, like, the backlash and the way we turn people and things of that sort. Look at that situation. You have two people that are lovers, and I don't.
I'm sorry, guys. They won't let me call them either. I'm sorry.
Huh?
I think
when you're on the phone, it's not going to let you call on this radio show. But my thing is that you get people, and, you know, whatever happens, you're getting people in relationships. They're hurting each other, they're killing each other, they're turning each other, they're serving people. I know people who've sat here and they've served, you know, the person and the person's family, and then they wind up going to jail for a long period of time. I mean, there has to be something that we have to realize that, you know, turn it off. It has to be a switch or something, because this is, like, really crazy. But you know what? This is not new. This is not new. This is things that have always been happening. And it's really, really sad. You know, I don't know. Press number one again, because you pressed it and then it brought you up. And then you pressed it again and it brought you down. And now I don't see you. So 770, press one again, because I don't know the rest of your number. Michi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, you don't have a loud background. Michi, we kept you. Oh, before I go to you, Michi, let me go back to this caller because they pressed one. But I want to ask you a lot because you were on hold. 770-298, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. I think a lot of these people lack morals and the right judgment. I don't think whether you're gay, straight, bisexual. I just think if you don't make the right decision on the person that you want to be with, then you're going to obviously be in the situation that you're in now, which is a bunch of bullshit. So it's just pretty much making sure that you choose the right person and choose wisely.
Well, that's true, but sometimes you can think you're choosing the right person. You don't find out until a year, two, or three later how that person really is. You just really never know a person. But I think it's all about this. I think you have to find enough love within yourself, you know, and caring about yourself you know, that you won't allow this person to hurt you, or if they do attempt to hurt you, you're smart enough to, like, catch it and put an end to it before it happens, or if it does happen, you're strong enough to not allow it to make you fall or look like a fool. You know, if you have enough strong love and dignity within yourself, then everything should just bounce off you, you know. And that all comes from time. I used to always wonder why I came from a family where my grandmother was single, my aunt was single, my mom was single. It's like all the women in my family were single. And I used to sit there and listen to them talk and stuff. And then I learned as I got older that, child, they just all had, you know, bad relationships. And I also think it's the type of people we pick and what we're attracted to. You know, some people we may pick and be attracted to that are, you know, just for fun, but we need to keep them on that level just for fun. You know, and then there's just the ones that we pick and we're attracted to, or maybe we're not attracted to them, but we pick them because they can please us in these other areas. And, you know, they may be the ones that cater to you and open the door for you and wine and dine you and stuff, but we have to keep them to a certain level. But cause it just seems like we always want the bad boy, gay or straight, or you know, or bi or butch queen. So we just always are attracted to the bad boy.
Not all of us.
Not all of them.
I personally like nerds, personally.
I agree
with Jazz, and I just brought that up. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is so attracted to the thug, the bad boy, and everything. Then they get mad when they get turned. I just brought this up, and that's so funny that this happened. But I put that in the official ballroom like a week ago. I said, why is it that everybody wants to go to the trade, the thug, bad boy, then they get so hurt and pressed when they get turned? I'm not saying you pussy. I'm just saying in general. People get so mad, but then you get somebody that's a gentleman that's going to treat you like, you know, a queen, or even somebody that's going to treat you just with respect and stuff like that, and then they're too good for you. Yes, I'm talking about
purple. Do you think is that some of us like the challenge, the competitiveness, if we can win him over?
Yes. I just feel like I got to go slap a bitch to get some ass these days. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
people like build a project. People love that little TLC, let me build this house up, because if I build it up, it might be my home. That's what these people like. And girls just get turned because they move in a crack house, and they're trying to turn it into their dream house, and they realize that it's just a crack house.
But let me tell you something, I also know this. You got the girl that will, or just people in general, that will like the challenge, the project, and then when they do get it to where they want it, they're bored with it, and they're ready to move on.
Yep.
That's because they've taken advantage of an opportunity.
They've actually moved on. Like, I got him where I want. It's not a challenge no more, and I still want a challenge. Now I want a challenge. Now I want to get something else or whatever, because the girls ain't innocent either. We do things as well. So it's a mess.
So what about those that turn the younger people into like prostitution and a lot of stuff that they weren't aware of coming into the scene?
Listen, my thing is this. And it happened. My thing is, I think it's wrong. I think when we run into these situations, you know, we see the people that are being used, that are being showboated, that are being thrown out there. I've even seen them on the runway and stuff. But I think that there comes a time in a person's life when they have to say to themselves, like, okay, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of living this life. I'm tired of going through what I'm going through. I'm tired of being showboated or being used by this guy, and I need to stand up for myself. You know,
see,
unfortunately, I used to say the same thing. Like, when I was young, I used to always imagine little things, and, like, you know, especially when I was young, learning, going into religion and stuff, I would always say, like, I know it's, I probably sound stupid, but I would say something like, if a mother and a father have a child and they teach that child to be a serial killer or to always go out there and kill and be violent, and then somebody puts a bullet in his head, will he go to hell? Like, how is God going to judge him if this is all he knows in his life? You know, is God going to judge him? God says, thou shalt not kill, and things of that sort. So is God going to say, you're going to hell, and you're not, or is he going to get a pass or excuse because he only knew this life? And, well, and I use that as an example for the people that come from broken homes, that only thing they know out of your early age is how to make fast money and what to make the fast money with, that's be their ass, their dick, their mouth, or whatever. This is all they know, and this is all they're taught, or they never have the opportunity to experience anything different. How does a person like that change?
Well, a person like that changes because, for one, what we need to realize in the Baltimore community, whether you have carry the title, which to me really doesn't matter, but okay, whatever, you know, whoever carries the titles, you know what I'm saying, it's not just up to the title holders, the parents, the fathers, mothers, godfathers, godparents, overseers, directors, actors, and everything, you know, it's not up to them, but it's up to us as individual communities, because whether, yeah, you may be, I may be in a house of, okay, prime example, the chapter I came out of from the House of Ebony, you know what I'm saying, I was more clean to the regular members. I'm more, my mother, of course, that was my personal mother, so I really kind of didn't look at her like that. But I didn't I looked up to other people that were not in leadership roles, you know what I'm saying, as kind of like role models or, you know, kind of like people, you know, like, ooh, I like the way they walk and I like the way they do things. Like, you know, like one of my favorite best spectators is Kadam Milan. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen Kadam act out of character. I've never seen, you know, so, you know, me looking up to him, you know, I feel that's a certain, you know, way I should carry myself based on the way I've seen him carry himself. I've never seen him act irrational or, you know, flip a table over or, you know, nothing like that. So, you know, what I'm saying is, even though that's a leader, but I'm saying if you have anybody looking up to you, you are a leader. We're all leaders in this community, whether you have a title or you don't have a title. We are all leaders, and we all have a responsibility of helping people who you see may be, you know, an opportunity for help, but you take advantage of it and try to have with them, sleep with them, make them your little in-house piece, and then when they get over you, then you, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they're this, that, and the third. But it was your boo-boo, your baby, when it was laying there with you.
I agree. All right. Enough is enough about all that. I don't want to talk about it no more because I don't even know what we got from it. I want to talk about this. What do y'all feel about us fighting the wrong battle? And we still are, and I know we only got 30 minutes into the show, but maybe kind of make it quick. We still are being looked at from society, the way we're looked at. And what are we going to do about it? Like, what can we do to fix that? Or, you know, do you think it'll ever change? And on top of that, what do you people feel about Uganda, you know, Africa? And this bill that they're going to pass by Christmas that they're saying is going to be like a Christmas present to them, where they are now, you know, an anti-gay bill where they now will kill you if you are gay.
No, I'm sorry, not to interrupt. Did that go for tourists as well or just the natives?
I don't know. I have no idea. But who would want a tour there? It affects you having a job. It affects you, you know, residency. Like, if they find out that someone hires a gay person, that person could get into trouble. If a landlord rents to a gay person, that landlord will get into trouble. It's like you are really outcasting these people. And, you you know, blaming them for everything. Everything in the world, HIV, and blaming them for of child abuse and, you know, pedophiles and all the rest of this stuff. This is what they think of us. And what happens to our brothers and sisters that are there? Are we going to ignore them as well? Like, you know, what is everybody's opinion on that? I'll start with J-Rock.
Well, to tell you the truth, it may sound crazy, but, bitch, you better get out of Uganda the best way that you fucking can, because them third world countries, like, y'all some of them laughing at me and shit. I've been to third world countries. There is nothing you can fucking do about it. When you in them third world countries, when they take over and they go into them communism and stuff like that, bitch, you better get across that motherfucking water or get on a boat or something. Because it is what it is. I'm just glad I'm an American.
Now, look at what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. Get out of there the best way you can. But just imagine a person that we may know there, and they're trapped there. They're not even able to get their passport to leave the country. They probably go into the, you know, they're trying to reach out to the government, and the government is like, okay, why are you all going to try to leave? It ain't that easy just to leave a country. You know what I'm
I know
saying?
It's not that easy. That's what I'm saying. It's just like it wasn't easy to leave the South and to go through the Underground Railroad to get out of slavery. Bitch, y'all better get out there the best way you can. I know it's a hard situation, but that's like beyond even my mind thought. Because, I mean, I know if I was in that situation, I would try my best to get out of there. I mean, you damned if you do, you damned if you don't. If you stay there, you're going to die. If you try to get away, you're going to die. Well, bitch, let me try to get away.
All right, Jason, what's your opinion on it?
I think it was last year or it might have been a year before where the video was posted on Facebook and it was on YouTube. And, I mean, I cried for about an hour when I saw this video where they beat this man all over, like the whole where the whole village was attacking this man. Then they kept trying to set him on fire and then eventually... Mm-hmm. They did. And I mean, I cried for about an hour and I just had to I actually got down on my hands and knees and just like, thank God I'm an American. Thank God I live in a country where that, a long time ago, that can happen to me, but that can't happen to me now. And I think us here in the United States, well, first we need to learn how to band together here with us before we can try to unite some other country and help them. But once we get our act together as a whole and as a community, then we need to start enforcing. I mean, our country, America sends money to these places. And if we're supposed to be protecting the world, then we need to protect them too. And we need to write letters to our congressmen and our senators and to the president. And we're like, you need to put a stop to this. Tell them that if they don't change these laws, we're not going to help them.
I think that's already been done, though, correct?
I don't think so.
Not with this issue.
No, they said that a lot of countries are opposed to a lot of countries' recommendations and stuff like that. People were going to stop trading and all. A lot of that with them when they passed this law. And stuff like that. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying about, like, I understand doing that, but that's what you mean by stop trade, not actually going to that country and do something, right?
No, I mean, if we have to go to these, I mean, like, I watched, somebody posted a video last week, or I might have saw it somewhere else, where they beat the boy up in Jamaica because
right.
they caught him and his boyfriend kissing.
In the library.
In the library.
Right. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that I personally don't think that we. I don't want to call. Well, I guess Uganda is a third world country. I don't think that we should send, like, for instance, send J-Rock or anybody like that over there to defend what they're doing in their constitution because we have enough problems with our own. You know what I'm saying? I think that we can write letters to congressmen, like stop exporting, importing, or whatever the stuff from them. We can do it that way. But actually going in and trying to take over, I don't agree with that. Because that can only get us more in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, Michi, what's your opinion on it?
I agree with Jason. I mean, you know, we need to unite over here, you know, as one. You know, maybe they need to do a campaign like they did for voter gag, because that was a lot of action. A lot of people actually got involved, and actually a lot of people voted this year.
Yeah, they did.
So maybe we, you know, they need to start, you know, do a, maybe, you know, stop the violence, you know, move the violence campaign or something, you know, and, you know, implement balls around that. You know, we implement it around HIV and awareness and everything like that. Let's do a, you know, stop the violence awareness ball or something.
Okay. Vonna, what's your opinion on all this? Vonna? Okay. 240-48.
Little Tony.
You're on the air. 240-480. Who was saying something?
I was saying Little Tony was still on the phone.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, you're still there, Little Tony?
Yeah.
You're still watching TV? You're bringing a lot of sound effects.
That's, why does everybody think that that's my phone? I'm sitting here. I had the phone on mute.
Okay, who's watching TV?
I think that's a movie.
Who's watching the movie?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know who that was.
I think that's something that we need to think about, though, within ourselves. Like, we're sitting here fighting.
Yeah. You said what, Devin? Yeah.
Oh, see, somebody carried. 240-480, you're back in
okay.
There.
Okay, I did unmute my phone. Hello?
Hello? 240-480.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, okay. My views on what you guys were just speaking about is more or less about communication. Like, if we had an ambassador or something that wanted to go over to Uganda or whatever and speak to whoever the powers that may be over there, then and communicate our views and kind of, like, you know, have a conversation, I guess, about what their views are and what our views are, then maybe we might be able to have a breakthrough on that situation. I feel as though that, you know, those third world countries are more religious-based, and we're now, like, you know, over here we believe we have religions, different religions and stuff like that, but they have one particular religion that despises homosexuality. So, I mean, it's basically opening up their eyes to something that's different. This is a different nation over here than it is over there, you know, and I feel as though that maybe if somebody was able to communicate that, then maybe that it won't be so much problems over there as it is over here. I mean, we got it good over here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, thank God we're American, the red, white, and the blue, and all that good stuff.
Okay.
I think you said something else. I forgot, because it was so much stuff that I was listening to. Was it something about, I'm sorry, if you could refresh my memory. I do remember you said something about Uganda and something else. So if you could refresh my memory on what else you said.
There was different talk. I mean, there was people saying that, like you said, going there and write letters or going there to the country, like you said, ambassadors. But if you guys read some of the articles that was posted on posted about this, there were countries, including the United States, that have spoke to them about it. So that's already been done. Then what?
Then what? Well, then there's nothing else that you can possibly do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We have to really focus on what's going on over here. The Americans have to focus on what's going on in America before they can focus on whatever is going on in the world. Unless it's not a threat to us, it's really not a threat to, you know, us. It's not, as long as it's not a threat to us, then we don't have to really be involved.
basically.
I mean, we,
but then you go back to what Jason's talking about, so you should turn around and just do a blind eye.
Burn.
Yeah,
probably.
But in all honesty, this, you know, I never brought it up to say that there was really much that we could do, but what I was really trying to get at was the fact that look at our lives and look at who we are fighting when our own people, our own brothers and sisters, the people that are living lives like us, look what they're going through.
I was just saying, when you say brothers and sisters or something like that, do you mean what, the gay community? Are you speaking as far as the gay community? Or as far, oh, okay, I thought you, because, I mean, I know this might sound like, you know, bad or whatever, but however, I have like a, you know, everybody has a prejudice. I don't care who they are. Everyone has a prejudice. I am highly prejudiced against Africans. So, I mean, it really wouldn't even matter to me what happens, what goes on with them. I really don't care too much for them.
Be they gay or straight?
You say what now?
I said, be they gay or straight. It doesn't matter.
I just don't see them at all. They're arrogant. They think they know everything. They come over here. They have a problem coming over here. They have a problem over there. So, I mean, it's like we're with
us together. And that's understandable. We feel that way about a lot of people. But it's not the point of, you know, the race and, you know, the way they carry themselves and stuff. But it's the fact of someone that we know that is battling the same thing, that is not a color, is not a race. It's a part of us, you know, being gay. You know, that is not a, being gay is not a color. You know, it's the feelings that we go through and the feelings that we can't control and how we question ourselves when we were young. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this a punishment? Is this a sin? Everything that we went through mentally, you know, not because of the color of our skin, but what we went through mentally, and the battles and how we had to hide this from our mother and our father because we didn't want them to know or the people in school to know because they were going to tease us and stuff. Now we have people that are in our same position that have to live this life, but they're going to get killed over it. You know, that's where you have to have some type of empathy for them or emotion for them. It's not just really about the fact that they're African. It's just the fact that they are going through a mental, it's a mental thing with them, just like what we went through.
I don't believe that we will go through anything to that extreme as far as being killed. Now, we do have a few cases where, you know, homosexuals are being assaulted or, you know, it's gay hate crimes or something like that. I mean, I think that's going to be natural. You know, hate takes a person to a whole different level. However, when you're talking about a country that told you off bucks, look, I don't accept your sexuality, and if I see your sexuality, then you don't have a choice, it's death. You have to ask yourself, am I going to be that flamboyant person that shows I don't care, or am I going to stay in the closet? I mean, you know, everybody had to go through a closet stage. It's just not their time to come out the closet yet. So, I mean, shit, fuck it. And they might not even come out of the closet, because they know that if they do, there'll be a bullet waiting for them. You feel me? So, I mean, it's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. That's 22.
Okay. All right. Thank you, caller. But some people can't control being in the closet. It's just natural. Maya, yes, go ahead and speak about the third world country.
Yeah, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, this is my thing. You know what bothers me? The fact that every video you see, Madonna, Beyonce, you see one of the girls in there voguing, Toni Braxton, and Madonna's been doing the Vogue for years. Not once have none of these bitches have stepped up and made a campaign to stop this bullshit. It bothers me because we have these people that's coming to see the girls and dating the girls, and, you know, they don't stand up for us at all. It's horrible. It's really horrible. You know, and it just saddens me. I'm not kidding. you know, and it's not a kiki. At the end of the day, this is about us, you know. These are the same people, you know, we represent, and they represent us. It's horrible. And you're fucking kiki, and it's not
who
fun.
Who the hell is that falling out?
I'm
this is J-Rock. I'm laughing at your goddamn voice. It's not a kiki, but that voice is.
Ooh. Okay,
everything
well, fuck the voice. At
true.
The end of the day, is a serious issue at the end of the day. It's not like, because it don't bother me about no voice. Like, this is a serious matter. We can do the voice on Mondays and Tuesdays. I'm a real bitch. It don't matter to me. At the end of the day, this is a serious matter. We got motherfuckers that doing videos and all that, and these people videos, and they can't even stand up and campaign for us at the end of the day. That's late. It's really late. And I thank you.
Maya, bitch, you just ate it. Everybody just died right now.
Maya just turned it the fuck out. No say.
Maya just ate it. Maya, there ain't no need to talk about nothing else. Thank you so much, Maya. You got everybody, not me, but you got everybody wet. Doing that.
Yeah.
Crazy right now.
Gag Nation pulsations.
So let me
that
give you
a bunch of lies and gay
rumors. We'll be on the air next Monday. I'm not ending the show right now. We could keep you for the next 15 minutes or whatever. But we will be on the air next Monday as well as Tuesday. But we will not be on the air next Wednesday for the State of Emergency show because that's Thanksgiving Eve. And I'm not going to be doing no show. So in the meantime, if you guys don't hear from me on Monday or Tuesday, I do want to say to everyone, have a happy Thanksgiving. And be thankful. Take a minute and be thankful for who you are, where you are, because as we see, it's a lot of stuff going on out there, and it's really crazy. It's really, really crazy. And I want to thank all the callers that are listening and that are still listening. And everybody that tuned in, and little Tony, thank you for coming on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Tony.
And sharing your story with us. And I just hope everything works out. And I think we just really all need to do something because it's getting really, really crazy. But that's that with me. So, J-Rock, Jason, Michi with the sound effects. I know it's not your fault or whatever. Enrique, Vanna, are you there?
I think she's snoring.
Who?
Okay. Well, Vanna's gone for the night. What are you guys going to talk about? Or how's everybody doing? Or what's everybody saying?
I heard of
can we talk about Elmo, the boy that
oh yeah,
that's going.
Can we talk about the boy that blackmailed Elmo?
Yeah, what happened with the Elmo thing? What happened with him?
Well, if anybody who really knows him, because I know several people, that this is not the first time he ever, like, he usually hired escorts, and it's always certain type of escorts. So when I saw the boy picture, it looks so much like a couple of other people that I know that I had actually had dates with him. So it's not a secret what he was doing. But I guess one queen decided that they were going to try to truly turn it, but they end up getting turned themselves. You know
so
what I'm saying?
What did the queen say? He said that he messed with Elmo? I mean,
yeah, he messed
Elmo,
with Elmo underage or something. Like, he's supposed to be underage and the whole nine. Basically try to do the whole pedophile thing with the Elmo.
And then how did it come out that he didn't do it?
Well, actually, he retracted it. I don't know how it happened. I just heard that he came out, was it today or yesterday, and said that it wasn't true. So, I don't know how. Does anybody else know anything about the story?
Jason?
I'm trying to find an article, because it was an article where it said something about, along the lines, that there's an undisclosed account of undisclosed amount of money that was given.
And that's understandable because he hires escorts. So, yeah, I mean, I know personally that Elmo treats the kids well. He will personally fly you from wherever you're at, from coast to coast to where he's at, spend a week with him, and then he'll fly you back. He does that.
Yeah, because I got a girlfriend that can do attest to it.
I do too. I got a couple, you know. You know, I got some real close friends that can actually give it a tick. How about that? And they, and that's why they're mad, because they're saying the bitch is fucking up their coin for trying to get more coin. You know what I'm saying? So they're upset about it, which
yes,
I think is funny.
He's going to definitely be cautious now.
J-Rock, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'll be down in, well, I'm going down to New Orleans for the Bayou Classic. I go down there every year for Thanksgiving. So they're having a ball, too, but it's really the Bayou Classic weekend and the ball, so we're going to have fun on Bourbon Street in the French Quarter and get knocked out and fucked up.
Ew.
Ew. It's
that
New Orleans.
That doesn't even sound like you.
Oh, no, no, I mean, I will be down there while everybody else is getting knocked out and fucked up, and I'll just be the designated driver. I drink Coca-Cola.
Lost.
Lies and fairy tales. He just lied.
Huh?
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm going to help at the Big Daddy dinner and help serve food and help the homeless that day. And I'm cooking my own little Thanksgiving meal. I'm going to church, and then I'm just going to come home, and that's going to be about it.
Enrique?
I'm supposed to be going to my mom's for Thanksgiving, but now I think I'm going to also squeeze, and I'm going to go visit Jason when he has his little Thanksgiving dinner and help him eat it. So I'm going to go to my mom's and probably go to Jason's as well.
I don't do you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the invite.
Misha, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I will actually be going to eat. I'm going to eat real lightly that evening, or at 7 o'clock. I'll actually, well, no, about 7, 6, I believe it is. 6 or 7. But anyway, I'm staying at a Christmas tree light in downtown Sacramento.
A Christmas tree light? Oh, yeah. It is that time.
Yeah, it's
from
the Macy's Shopping Plaza downtown Sacramento.
Oh, I got to put this Christmas tree up.
It's too early to be thinking
about
Christmas.
Who's going
to
take advantage of Black Friday? Does anybody ever go stand on the lines and stuff?
Oh,
I am.
No, I thought about it just for the hell of it, but I can't.
You know, I did it for the first time.
I never get paid. I never get paid on Black Friday.
I did it for the first time last year, and I didn't really find the deal to be all that great.
No, they're really not. They're not. It depends on
go. But then again, y'all know they're expecting this. I don't know if y'all been watching CNN and the news.
Well, yeah.
They're expecting this year to be a record-breaking Black Friday and shopping. They're like hiring like crazy with holiday jobs and everything.
Because they're opening it early, though. You can actually go. You can go. Yeah, exactly. You can go shopping on Thanksgiving after 6. That's what they're advertising in Baltimore.
Yeah,
at 6. So you don't really have to stand in line. So to me, I really don't like that idea, because then people who are really into that, because it's a fad to a lot of people, they're going to be missing dinner. Or they're going to be rushing their good time, family time, just to go stand in some line to shop and get some TV that you can wait 3 weeks after Christmas and get it for the same price.
No, that's not always the case.
I've seen it. I personally have done it.
Well, I'll be at Macy's with my gift card.
There you go. You just want to be one of those people. There you go.
Well, no, because I get paid a gift card for singing at the event.
Oh, okay.
I just want to see what mothers are going to get into fight this year, because them people be crazy.
And they always go crazy over in the toy section.
Is there another Elmo coming out this year or something?
Probably not.
Elmo
Elmo's on hiatus for right now.
Maybe Elmo done got the girls knocked in the past year. Girl, you touched that last Elmo, that's it.
Yeah. Even sheets. Because I was looking at, like, they had, like, 800-count sheets last year. I remember this specifically. And I went to look for this one color. I went to grab it. I'll say she's about 65 years old, but damn near pushed me over the aisle to grab that last packet. And I had to look at her. And I'm like, do you really want this? Like, that serious? She goes, yes, can I have it? And I went right in line and waited. That bitch wasn't getting shit. And then if she wouldn't have pushed me, I would have gave it to her. Since she pushed me, I paid it.
Oh, with a 65. Come on now, Eric.
I'm sorry. She wasn't 65 when she pushed my ass. Anybody knows I'm not small. She literally pushed me to get that seat. I'm like, bitch.
And you would not get that old lady. She was She was trying to beat you to it, and you stripped her of her blessing.
Yeah, okay. She had two blessings.
She probably walked around that store all day long in her nice laid out Dr. Scholl pump, and walked around that store and found that sheet and said, "Thank you, Jesus," and went to grab it, and you, this big black man.
That's the right out.
Javaris is turning it in the official ballroom chat with Naima.
What's he doing?
He is back with Naima.
From what I heard, you mad as shit. You said.
Okay, J-Rock, it ain't even, you know, J-Rock, we not even going in. It's done.
We'll stay there for Tuesday.
That's not fair.
I'm going to have to give you a little piece. Is it still in there?
Yeah, it's not.
Yes, I just chimed in.
Wow. I said, oh, Lord, that's all I said.
On that note, I just want to say to everyone, the show is going to cut off any second now. Everyone have a safe holiday.
Good Thanksgiving
enjoy your
week.
Weekend.
Shout out to Mona.
You always say I don't say goodnight to you or whatever. Good night, Mona.
Good night, Mona.
Good night, Mona.
I'm going to put a different picture up, honey, because I'm just looking at this body.
Good night, messy Mona.
Shout out to South Carolina. Boo boo. Boo boo.
Shout out to all the listeners that keep gaining. Shout out to Instagram. I love Instagram. I'm weird. Y'all need to follow me on Instagram.
Shout out to McDonald's for the McRib coming back. Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop.
Why are you wet, Mona?
Oh, my God.
Because Javara's liking all her pictures.
Because she wants some of Jarvis.
And you know what the shade is? There's going to be a lot of... His inbox is going to be full boots.
Oh, yeah, his inbox
no
is going to be full boots.
And see, and because you say that, that's what really is making me want to bother me about the whole Elmo situation. Because if he was unattractive, everybody would be out to attack him. But because he's attractive, oh, they're like, oh, I would have did it too. And they're going to give, give him a pass. Like, it's okay to do stuff like that because you're cute.
Well, who's attractive?
Yeah. Elmo, the guy who was going to blackmail Elmo. He's very attractive.
Oh, I thought you were talking about somebody else.
Jarvis.
Well, the girls seem to think Jarvis is attractive, too.
Oh, yeah. They're going to blow his inbox. That's what we're saying. They blow my... If it hasn't been done already.
Tins and chops make everybody famous.
He's about to get a stern set, as they say.
Now, y'all, Kramer's
on the page.
Well, these new five pictures will show. I'll see why they're calling in.
Oh, and the phone is about to hang up, but who's going to see Twilight tomorrow night?
Me.
I'm going to go see Twilight tomorrow night.
Me, too. My best breaster in the whole wide world.
Little Tony, you should go see Twilight, too.
I'm not going.
I'm waiting on it.
You're not my best breaster in the whole wide world.
Fuck you, bitch.
Somebody take me as long as I can.
No, but I fuck
somebody
the sister.
I'm going for free as long as I can sneak in snacks.
And please, ladies, please do not take my little brother, the bishop, to go see the Twilight. That is not a good movie for him. Thank you for reaching out.
That was legendary, Enrique.
Make sure y'all wear Trojan bearskin condoms with Millennium ID.
That's what I need to know. Is it Trojan bearskin?
Yes.
That's what
you need to know that for? Who you getting ready to use them on?
Enrique, are you going to see Twilight too? You said.
I don't like that whole saga personally. I've never done
okay,
a Twilight.
Okay, that's good, because it's a lot of senior citizens that want
to
see that movie,
see
I'm
it,
sure.
Since you took me to that club, I didn't know to. Oh, you going to see that movie.
Well, Jason, if you are taking him, attention all senior citizens that are listening on the phone,